This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, as well as a premium Erotica Taboo Podcast, which contains more intense sexual themes. You can access the Taboo Podcast on Spotify or support the other free Erotica podcasts on Patreon, which will allow us to continue providing free content, as well as this gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choice. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction, with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. The Devil's Pact by Mypename 3000. Part 27. Chapter 1. None could look away from their screens as they watched the miracle unfold. First Book of Vivian 1410. Wednesday, June 26, 2013. Doug Aller, Jebel Aulaz, Saudi Arabia. The desert sky was clear and beautiful. Stars wheeled over the top of the mountain. The true Mount Sinai, called Jebel Aulaz by the local Saudis. A barrier surrounded the mountain, my wife, and me from the world. From the coming darkness. It would hide us, separating our reality from any who were not chosen to enter. We were the guardians of the original copy of The Magics of the Witch of Endor, an ancient book that contained the hope of mankind. The other copies lacked that hope. If the darkness prevailed, it would rescue mankind. But that wouldn't be for 40 years. It was a long time to wait in the wilderness. But we were provided for. When we woke up at dawn, we found manna around us. The pale, delicious bread, which tasted of honey and milk, was hearty and sustaining. We had eaten it the 2 full days we were here, and I had never felt healthier. And the angels provided for us not only with food, but other comforts. We had a generator that didn't seem to need any fuel, a satellite dish aimed to the sky, a TV, and a tent with a proper bed and furniture. I walked into the tent. It was a large space, with a comfortable mattress and clean sheets for us to sleep on. The TV was on, showing the local station back home. It looked like Q13 Fox playing one of the daytime soaps my wife always loved. She sat at the small desk, half watching TV, half typing at my laptop she brought with her. She looked so beautiful. We both had received the gift, making me a monk and her a nun. It aged us back to 18 and gave us fit, perfect bodies. And she was fit. I admired the naked profile of her firm breast. We had made love many times since arriving, exploring each other's new bodies, loving each other in our solitude. There wasn't too much else to do, though Tina was working on accumulating a collection of ebooks, downloading every free one she could off the major ebook stores and sending them to our smartphones. We could download books on our smartphones but not make calls. No cell coverage. Which was weird since we had internet. "Hey, honey," I said, brushing back her brown hair to kiss her shoulder. "What are you working on?" "Your notes. Everything we know about Mark. We should record it all. Who he and his women are. When this is all over, people will need to know the truth about him." "Planning on writing a book?" I joked. "Maybe." I kissed her neck again. "It's late. Not back in the States." "Well, it's later here and—" I kissed her shoulder, my hand sliding down her bare arms. "You are so beautiful." She smiled and groaned, arching her neck, inviting me. "You're like a horny teenager, Doug." "Well, I look like one. And so do you. Let's embrace it." My hands swept around to squeeze her naked tits. They were so round and firm and perky. No sack. Just perfect. I squeezed. "We interrupt your programming to bring you a breaking news," came from the TV. I glanced at the screen to see a well-dressed, young man sitting at an anchor desk. "Gunshots have erupted in the quiet suburb of South Hill, Washington. We go now live to Deborah Horndanel on the scene." "South Hill," said my wife, perking up. "Mark?" I asked, staring at the TV, my heart unforgotten. The shot changed and I blinked. The female reporter stood before her camera, ready to report, while in the background I spotted Mark Glasner's house. There was movement, one of his scantily clad bodyguards rushing by, her tits almost falling out, Deborah reported. "While collecting footage for an upcoming story on the philanthropist Mark Glasner," my wife growled in disgust. "A woman, who appeared to know Mark and his fiancée Mary, arrived. While speaking to Mark and Mary, this woman drew a gun and shot him. Even now, Mark's lovers and bodyguards are trying to save him as 911 races to the scene." "Well," I blinked. The camera panned to show Mark lying on his back, his chest covered in blood, Mary kneeling over him, holding his wounds. Chastity, Mark's blonde sex slave and chief of his bodyguard, stood behind Mary speaking into a Nextel. The Mina, Mark's slut who was also a nurse, arrived and began working on Mark. "Do you know the motivation of the shooter?" the anchor asked. "We don't know at this time, but Mark's security shot her moments after she shot him. It's quite a mess here. His devoted lovers watched stunned while Mary—" Deborah trailed off. She glanced up the residential and asked, "Is that gunfire?" The cameraman panned down the street in time to catch 3 SWAT vans rounding the bend. Mark's bodyguards flooded out of the houses along the street. There were more bodyguards now than when I spied on Mark a week back. They drew weapons, firing at the vans. The reporter screamed in fear, diving for cover while her cameraman knelt to capture the action. My wife squeezed my hand as the back of the first sweat van burst open and several heavily armed police officers stepped out with MP5s, opening fire on Mark's bodyguard. Shooting Mark was, apparently, the opening volley to a coordinated attack. "We might not have to hide here," I said. "There, that's a nun," gasped my wife. "Blonde hair. I saw it in your notes. That must be the nun who went after Mark using his sister Ansi. Sister Theodore Miriam." One of the last things I had recorded. My wife had managed to salvage my notes backed up in the cloud through Dropbox. I thought I deleted the files Mark's orders, but the storage service undeleted them for my wife. She lied and said someone hacked my computer and maliciously deleted them. Clever of her. "They're going to beat him," my wife said, a huge smile on her face. But it didn't turn out the way we hoped. Mark's bodyguards repelled the attack. Mark was still wounded, but Mary was taken by the nun. It was strange that the nun did it. There was a moment when Sister Theodore seemed about to execute Mary, but instead she ordered the SWAT officer to seize Mary. They fled the scene in the back of the sweat van. "She must be taking Mary to exorcise her in safety," Tina whispered, staring at the TV. "But Mark is still shot and dying. Let him die, Lord, and let this all be over with." Noel Heinrich, Tacoma, Washington. My heart pounded in my chest as I raced out of the federal building in downtown Tacoma. I sprinted across the plaza to my parked car, gripping the Nextel in my hand. Since last week when I was exposed as master spy to the FBI, I was free to monitor the radio network the bodyguards used. I was second in command of Master's security, underneath Chastity. When I wasn't at work at the FBI, all my FBI colleagues were under Master's power, and they all maintained the lie to suits back in Washington, D.C. I was working deep undercover to investigate Mark Glasner. So deep I was dedicated to fucking and sucking him. Of course, I just did that because I was a slut. One of Master's sluts. And now he was in trouble. He had been shot. 22 to Chastity, "We have unusual activity at the entrance," came over the Nextel as I reached my government-issued sedan. I pulled my keys from my pocket, fearing what new catastrophe would befall Master and Mistress.
"What, 22?
Chastity, the woman I loved and leader of the bodyguards, responded.
"We have 3 sweat vans incoming."
"3 sweat vans? Already?" Master had been shot only a few minutes ago. How could a sweat unit deploy so fast? My stomach twisted. I was about to warn Chastity when she blurted over the radio.
"Chastity to all units, we are under attack."
"No, no, no." I jammed my key into the car's lock, twisted, and ripped open the door. I threw myself into the driver's seat, started the car, and peeled out, flipping on my lights and sirens. I burst onto Pacific Avenue, racing for the entrance to Highway 705 at 13th Street. The tires squealed as I made the hard right onto 13th and rushed for the on-ramp. I honked my horn as an SUV was too slow to pull over. I whipped around it then reached the on-ramp, accelerating as I shot down it.
"Chastity to all units,"
came over the chatter on the Nextel.
"There are nuns commanding the SWAT. Aim for any women."
"Nuns?" I snarled, pushing the accelerator to the floor as I hurtled towards the I-5 merger. I had to get back home as fast as possible. It must be that bitch Sister Theodora. I winced at the chatter on the Nextel. The bodyguards were taking heavy fire. Calls for help came over the line, women injured and dying. Tears burned my eyes as I weaved in and out of traffic, pushing my car to the limit. I had to go faster and faster.
"A county-wide tactical alert has been issued,"
came over the police radio in my sedan.
"All units, proceed to Shaw Road and Mountain View Court. Suspects are posing as Pierce County SWAT officers and armed with heavy weapons. Officers in distress."
My heart tightened.
"Please, please, be okay, Chastity."
I zoomed past the 56th Street exit, my palms sweaty on the wheel. 72nd Street drew closer and closer, and then I was past it. I moved over, preparing to get onto Highway 512 and haul ass towards South Hill.
"They have Mistress,"
an excitable voice shouted on the Nextel.
"Stop it. Trying. Where's Chastity?"
"She's down."
My heart stopped. Horror seized me. I glanced at the Nextel.
"Chastity's down.
I think she's dead. She tried to stop them from grabbing Mistress. I can't find a pulse on her."
My foot slipped off the accelerator as the shock crashed over me. I pulled over onto the freeway shoulder. She couldn't be dead. Not after last night. We loved each other last night. I came so close to blurting out my true feelings to her. Why hadn't I told her I loved her? What had stopped me? Tears destroyed my vision. My entire body shook. I clutched the steering wheel and banged my head against the horn. It honked as I sobbed and sobbed. I had my chance to tell her I loved her and I didn't. Why? It wasn't fair. She was so beautiful. So young. She couldn't be dead.
"Where's the ambulance?"
Someone shouted.
"Master's fading."
Chantel Paquette Holub, Seattle, Washington.
"Oh, this is amazing,"
my wife Lana shouted as she engulfed me in a hug. My busted bride spun me around, holding me tight.
"He's dying. He is dying. They came for him and shot him. And took Mary,"
Crystal added. She was our host's daughter, 18, and sworn to worship Lilith along with the rest of her mother's coven. Babylon was at work, but I knew she would be equally happy if she was here.
"Oh, Lilith, he's dying,"
I said, tears staining my eyes.
"The bastard is dying."
Still holding my wife, I turned to the TV. The reporter,
her face stained with tears, crawled out of hiding. The sweat van was gone, the battle over. Mark still lay on his back dying. One of his sluts holding in four bag while she worked on him. Other women lay dead or dying on the ground.
It looks like it's over,
a shaken Deborah said.
I, are you okay?
The male anchor asked.
I am.
Deborah nodded. The reporter took a deep breath. But others aren't. The attackers were dressed like Pierce County SWAT, but no SWAT unit would be so reckless to attack Mark Glasner. He's a great philanthropist. And his lovers are working hard to keep him alive. I can hear sirens in the distance. I hope it is actual police and ambulance instead of those criminals.
Oh, let it be more of those criminals,
chortled Crystal. He tried to enslave our goddess.
And us?
I growled, remembering my deluded time as Mark and Mary's. Slut. I hope he died and rotted in hell. An ambulance came around the corner. A faint tinge of disappointment soured my excitement. No, an ambulance didn't mean he would live. There was so much blood around him. He could still die. I held my wife and waited for the good news. Prayed for the good news. With Mark dead, Lilith would have an even easier time dominating the world. Brandon Fitzsimmons, Madison, Wisconsin.
Breaking news out of Washington State.
Came in as I watched CNN. I was killing time in my hotel room before I went to see Professor Scrivener at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. There are reports that shots have been fired at the house of the infamous Mark Glasner. I perked up, my hands tightening on my copy of The Magics of the Witch of Ender. Q13 Fox is reporting that Mark Glasner was shot. We're going live to Deborah Hondano reporting on the scene. I glanced down at the book as images of the dying Mark appeared on the screen. My fingers drummed on the leather binding. If Mark died, did I even need the book? Did I even have to kill the Alcgrave? Yes, I needed the book. If what I believed was in the book, then it would give me such power. And that was worth killing a dozen Alcgrave. 100. Part of me hoped Mark would live. Then I could have the pleasure of defeating him myself, and reclaiming my precious Desiree. I caught a glimpse of my wife on screen, clutching Allison, both crying as they stared down at the man who controlled their minds.
Either way, you'll be mine again.
I promised my wife. Whether from Mark's death or Professor Scrivener's translation of the book. Lucifer the Abyss. I watched from the shadows, the highest level of the abyss as Mark Glasner died. The angels were such fools. They played right into my hand. My subtle manipulation of fate tricked Gabriel into believing this reckless plan of attacking Mark would work, but it was my plan my brother Archangel followed. Heaven worked for me today. I loved the irony. Mark's soul left his body, dragged down by the red chain and pulled into the top level of the abyss. He wasn't dead yet, but close. That chain connected Mark to me, the embodiment of his pact when he sold his soul. But it wouldn't be long until Mark was dead and his soul mine, roasting for eternity with all the other fools who thought to bargain with me. But that wasn't part of the plan. I smiled as Mark's soul was intercepted. Hovering between life and death was a powerful place to be. Here Mark's soul could be interceded upon by an angel or demon. And that intercession was happening right on schedule. All these years of plotting, planning, would soon pay off. All my pawns were in place.
Mark Glasner.
You can still see her, Mark, said the woman's voice floating out of the darkness around me.
You are not dead yet.
Who's there?
I shouted into the darkness. Then I realized I was no longer falling. Feminine hands grasped my shoulders, long fingernails biting into my collarbone. I spun around and gasped.
Lilith?
She floated in the darkness, as stunningly beautiful as always. Her silvery hair fanned out about her body, waving lazily about her lush form. Her violet eyes sparkled with contempt. She was clad in her scarlet dress, so sure I could see all of her generous charms. Lust stirred inside me and I fought it down. I would need a clear head to deal with Lilith.
Here to taunt me?
I asked.
To gloat as I die, a smile played on her lips.
As satisfying as that would be, we have one last piece of business to discuss.
Not interested.
I shrugged. I learned my lesson dealing with Lilith. I knew she hated me. When Mary made their last bargain, Lilith had tried to trick my fiancé into betraying me.
Even if it would save your life?
Her smile broadened.
And your precious Mary's life?
I paused. I didn't want to die. And I didn't want to drag Mary down with me. I had wished for a long life and Mary had wished to live as long as me.
What is your deal?
I want Karen.
You mean, you want the thing growing inside her?
Karen was weak, most of the time unconscious. She was cared for at Good Sam Hospital, a child growing 8 times faster than normal in her belly. Mary and I made a pact with Lilith, letting the demon fuck Karen with a hermaphroditic cock in exchange for knowledge of magic. A pact that led us to gaining the magics of the Witch of Ender. I thought Lilith was just horny and wanted to fuck Karen. I had since learned demons only made pacts for their own benefit, even if it seemed like yours. Her eyes tightened and she pursed her lips.
Yes.
I want Karen and my child. She will be mine until she gives birth.
Then I'll return her to you. I squinted.
Why?
Once I'm dead, how can I stop you from having her?
What game are you playing at, Lilith?
You bonded her with the Zimmer ritual.
Did you forget what I told you?
Her eyes narrowed in disgust.
Did you forget that when you die, all those bound to you will die, too, their souls carried down into the abyss? You have chained them to you for eternity. And I can't have Karen dying before she gives birth. That would spoil all of my plans.
My heart froze. Not just Mary would die with me. Our sluts and our families. My mom, my little sister, Mary's sisters and her father. All would die with me. Lilith had me by the balls. I could see it in her smile. Fucking demons.
So, in exchange for me loaning you Karen until your child is born, you will return me to the health I had before Alice shot me.
I said carefully. I couldn't let my emotions lead me to make a bad deal. I had to make sure I benefited even if Lilith did.
And you will return Karen to me unharmed?
I will do nothing to harm Karen. Lilith promised. I frowned. I couldn't see any loopholes. I was sure they were there, but I really had nothing left to lose.
Then we have a deal, Lilith.
She smiled a predatory, triumphant smile.
I grant your boon, Mark Glasner.
Her words purred through the darkness, and suddenly I was filled with pain and... Sister Theodora Merriam, South Hill, Washington. My hands shook as the adrenaline bled out of me. But the images of the dead and dying would not leave my mind. Oh God, so many dead, I prayed in the back of the sweat van. Forgive me, Lord.
Why are you crying, Mother?
My daughter spat at me with such venom in her voice. Her bow was a dagger in my heart.
What do you have to cry about, Mother? Is it your loved ones dead and dying? Your fiancé?
I looked sadly at my middle daughter Mary. She sat bound in the corner of the SWAT van. Her eyes were puffy from crying and burned a deep green with hatred. Blood matted the front of her clothing. Probably Mark's blood. I did not see any wounds on her. The stained scarlet aura of a warlock surrounded her. And my own daughter sold her soul to the adversary, and I was sent to defeat her. To kill her.
Because all that blood is on my hands.
I whispered my answer.
That is why I am crying, Mary.
Mary gave a shrill, almost hysterical laugh.
You fucking nuns are such hypocrites. Karen was just as sorry after she nearly killed Desiree. Did you ever think what would happen if you attacked us? Christ, Mother, your soldiers had automatic fucking weapons.
It was the only way. I couldn't hide the sorrow from my words. I hated myself. It was all for the greater good.
We had to stop Mark and me, Mother?
Mary snarled. Her green eyes were wild, furious. Her freckled face mottled with red.
You tried to kill Mark and your own daughter. What a great servant of God you are, Mother.
I flinched as her words whipped my soul bloody raw. I struggled to gather my thoughts, to marshal some sort of defense against her accusations. I had to assuage my guilt and wash the blood from my hands. So many dead. Thralls of Mark and my daughter, my fellow nuns, and the SWAT officers we were forced to use to attack them. It was all for the greater good. The angel Ramiel told me so. It was all for the future of the world. We could not fail. We had to succeed. Mark Glasner had to be stopped. He was a warlock. An evil man who sold his soul and corrupted my poor daughter. I stared at her. Mark Glasner had ruined her. The red aura shone around her. Even if I were to exorcise her, she would still fall into the abyss for selling her soul. I would just stop her from creating more victims. But it wasn't right that I wasn't there to stop her from selling her soul. It was all Kurt's fault. He stole me from my family. If I was there, my daughter never would have sold her soul. It was the fault of terrible men like Kurt and Mark that she was damned to an eternity of suffering.
Mark ruined you,
I whispered.
He set me free.
Her eyes were wild.
And you tried to kill him. You did something to Alice, didn't you? It was for the greater good.
The SWAT van pulled onto the shoulder and stopped. I took a deep breath. We must have arrived where we stashed the getaway cars. I had cloaked the SWAT van with invisibility to get us clear of the immediate area, but it was dangerous to drive it on the road far. People could crash into us. We were lucky no one hit us in the few short blocks we drove. Sirens blared. Already cops were swarming to the street where Mark lived. One roared past us, then a second. Mark had such power. No warlock in my lifetime had ever accumulated so much, and so swiftly. I hoped he died. Maybe with him gone, I could figure out a way to save my daughter's soul. Dennis, the only remaining SWAT officer under my control, opened the rear doors. He didn't say a word. He wouldn't say a word unless I ordered him to. He climbed in and seized Mary.
Get your hands off of me,
she commanded. Then froze, the color draining from her face.
Oh no.
Yes, we used the SWAT officers your Mark put under his control. Mary let out a screech of rage. She kicked and screamed as Dennis dragged her bound form out of the van. More sirens blared, drawing closer. My stomach clenched. If a cop saw us dragging Mary to our escape car, we would be in trouble.
Faster,
I commanded Dennis as I hoped out the back of the invisible van.
Help, help,
Mary shouted.
If anyone can hear me, save me.
Attack them.
Free me.
My daughter also had Mark's power of domination. But none heard her as Dennis manhandled her quickly to one of several cars we parked here earlier today. Dennis dragged her to a silver Jeep Cherokee and threw her in the back seat. I slid in beside my daughter as another cop car streaked by. I held my breath, watching the cop car, fearing he would stop. He didn't. Providence was still looking out for me. I would complete my mission and stop the warlocks.
Let me go, Mother. We weren't hurting anyone.
You didn't have to shoot him.
To shoot Chastity. Mark is evil,
I told Mary, trying to justify my actions to my daughter. And to myself. He had to be stopped at any cost.
Like using my friend Alice and making her shoot my fiancé?
Mary asked coldly.
You cast a prayer on her, didn't you, Mother?
Yes. I sighed, looking down at my hands.
Oh, so there's another innocent person whose blood is on your hands then, Mother. I'm sure you saw her bleeding to death when you captured me.
Mary paused, her lip curling in contempt. She was Shannon's best friend growing up, remember? Do you remember when we were a family? Do you remember that Alice used to sleep over at the house with Shannon, and you would make them cookies to eat? Oh, but that was before you turned into a whore and abandoned us.
The pain of Mary's words threatened to crush me as memories of a sweet, black-haired girl playing with Shannon flooded my mind. Tears burned in my eyes. Oh God, what have I done? I looked down at my hands. They were surprisingly clean for hands so stained with blood.
Alice. Isabella and Agnes. The blonde thrall who spent her last breath trying to protect my daughter. From her own mother. I should have been the one to protect Mary. I should have been there for her.
Why couldn't you just leave us alone?
Mary asked bitterly.
What you do is evil.
I said, feeling my anger replace my guilt. I took a deep breath.
You control people, Mary. You and Mark make them your slaves and steal their free will. You destroyed their lives before I ever showed up. All those SWAT officers had relationships.
Marriages broken and destroyed by what you and Mark made them do when they raided your house. We didn't kill them.
Mary spat back.
You say we destroy lives? Who was it that took control of those men and led them into a killing field? Really good act there, Mother. It was for the greater good.
I repeated, my guilt coming back.
Really? Greater good? Who attacked whom, Mother? You're just as bad as we are.
No, you're worse. We don't kill people. We make them happy.
But you killed Chastity.
Mary's eyes brimmed with tears.
She was a sweet, loving woman who threw herself on me to protect me, Mother, and your soldiers gunned her down. You tried to kill your own daughter, Mother. Such a good act. I didn't know you were the other warlock.
I protested.
I never thought in a million years my own daughter would be a warlock?
Mary sneered.
Better than the whore who runs out on her family.
Mary gave a bitter laugh.
Mark is bleeding to death. It won't be long until I'm out of your life, Mother. Then your mission will be complete.
My forehead furrowed in confusion.
What? What are you talking about, Mary? I'm not going to kill you. You're my daughter.
My pact.
Mary whispered. Mark wished for a long life when he made his. So when I made my pact, I wish to be young and healthy for as long as Mark lives. When he dies, I die.
She sniffed, and a small smile appeared on her lips.
We will be together for eternity. I'll exorcise you.
I said, fear squeezing my heart. I could not be responsible for my own daughter's death. That guilt would destroy me.
Then your wish won't matter. You'll live past him.
No. Her shout surprised me.
Let me be with him. With Mark dead and my powers broken, only prison will remain for me.
A life without him.
I love him, Mother.
How can you love him, Mary?
I asked her.
Where does this devotion come from?
He's a monster. I know what a male warlock does to his thralls. I've seen the news reports and heard about the orgies.
He uses them.
He loves them.
Mary countered.
Mark never hurts them. We both love them. Mark's a good man, deep inside. The power he has is just too intoxicating sometimes. No one can resist it fully.
Mary shuddered.
I know I tried to fight it, but it is so hot to transgress morality. But that's not why I love him. You want to know why I love him, Mother?
I nodded my head.
Because he has a caring soul. Because he loved me so much he set me free from his powers. I was his thrall for a day. He made a mistake after he got his powers. But he loved me so much, he risked losing me when he could have held on to me.
A smile crossed her lips.
And I love him because I know if I asked it of him, he would give up his powers. He would get rid of his thralls and the kinky sex just to make me happy.
I laughed.
No warlock has ever given up their powers. Not voluntarily.
Mark would for me.
Mary insisted. I know warlocks far too well, Mary.
I shook my head. The poor girl was besotted with Mark. She was young, only 20. She hadn't learned about the lies a man would tell a woman in bed. I learned that lesson before I met Sean. He was a good man.
They all are selfish beasts.
Men.
They lie to make a pretty girl spread her legs.
Mary snorted.
You swoop in, exorcise a warlock, and then head back to whatever convent you nuns wait at. What do you really know about us? You speak like we're evil monsters and not just people with too much power. For 6 months, I was a thrall to a warlock.
Mary blinked in shock. Tears trickled down my cheeks as I told my daughter what happened on March 15, 1998, and the terrible nightmare that followed.
Chapter 2.
Host, for those watching the indie music scene, a new garage band is tearing up the clubs of Seattle and Portland. Satan's Silver Tongue has exploded onto the scene in just the last few weeks. Excerpt from MTV broadcast, April 2, 1998. 15 years ago, Tiffany Sullivan, Parkland, Washington.
Look what I made at school, Mommy.
Mary said.
She bounded to the door when I walked into the house after returning from work, a huge smile on her face.
What?
I asked. She bounced on her feet dressed in a cute, plaid jumper and held up a clay tablet with her handprint in the center.
I made it for you and Daddy.
Mary had just turned 5, her auburn hair in 2 pigtails and her green eyes shining with happiness. That I smiled and took it from her.
It's very pretty.
Thank you, Mary.
Let's go show Daddy.
Mary took my hand in hers and pulled me to the living room where Sean sat. I smiled at my husband. He had loosened the top few buttons of his shirt as he graded papers. A community college teacher's work was never quite done, except during the summer.
Daddy!
Mary shouted excitedly and jumped up on Sean's lap, scattering his papers as she held up what she made in kindergarten today. She bounced on his lap, her pigtails swaying.
"That's so pretty, Mary,"
Sean praised. He was a great father, and I smiled fondly at him. I never once regretted marrying the man, even when we fought.
"Mama,"
Melissa giggled as she stomped across the floor in a pink smock. I scooped up my three-year-old daughter, her hair a messy mop of strawberry blonde.
"You're home, Mama."
"I am," I told her, giving her a smile.
"And how's my big girl doing?"
"Fine." Then she gave me a quick kiss on the cheek.
"Have you seen Shannon?"
I asked Sean, looking around the living room.
"She's at Alice's house,"
Sean answered, smiling at me. He had amazing green eyes and still kept his hair long like when we first started dating in college, tied back in a bright, red ponytail. The very image of the cool, laid-back teacher.
"Can you take Melissa so I can start dinner?"
I asked, kissing Melissa's cute face before handing her to my husband.
"Sure, Tiffany,"
Sean smiled, taking Melissa from me. Sean's hand brushed mine, and he rubbed it just a little longer than necessary. I smiled. It was the little things that kept a marriage going. I headed for the kitchen, trailed by Mary. I pulled on my plain white apron and Mary pulled on her pink frilly apron.
"Are you going to help Mommy?"
I asked her. Mary nodded, a serious expression on her face. I thought it was cute, so I gave her some simple instructions, and we started gathering the ingredients for dinner. That was when I discovered we were out of milk. I sighed and popped my head back into the living room.
"Did you forget to swing by the store, Sean?"
He flushed.
"Sorry, Tiff," he said. "I'll go right away."
I shook my head. I loved my husband, but he was so forgetful.
"No, no, I'll walk over to the Coopers and borrow some milk from them."
I grabbed a measuring cup and walked outside. The sun was setting, shining brightly on me as a drizzle of rain fell on my face. Weather in March was so unpredictable in Western Washington. It can go from sun to rain to snow to hail and back to sun all in a 20-minute period of time. And around sunset, you would often get rain and sun at the same time. So I headed back inside to grab my jacket. The drizzle stopped by the time I reached the sidewalk. I shook my head at the weather, glancing up at the patches of dark, gray clouds floating overhead. I walked down Violet Meadows, admiring a beautiful rainbow as I headed to the Coopers. The screeching music of an electric guitar and the banging of loud drums across the street drew my attention. The Bronson boy and his band were practicing in his garage. They weren't that good at playing rock, but I liked to encourage Kurt. He was a nice boy despite that absurd mohawk and lip piercing. He was always around the house, asking if he could do any chores to make some money. So I let him clean the gutters or mow the lawn for us some money, Sean would grouse.
"I can mow the lawn, Tiff." Or, "I'm perfectly capable of cleaning the gutters."
Well, if I waited for Sean to get around to mowing the lawn on his own, we would have waist-high grass. And I so hated being a nag. But today there was something different about the music. A beat that just seemed to flow into me, pulsing through my soul. They sounded good today.
No, great.
The screeching transformed in my mind to powerful, amazing music. Their practice was starting to pay off. Before I even realized what was happening, I was crossing the street. It was hard to think about anything other than the music. I walked up the driveway and stood at the entrance to the garage. I had never heard music so amazing before. It was a primal beat that pounded through my body, hardening my nipples. I squirmed my hips, growing aroused.
What was this music?
I felt like a teenager, my hormones bursting out of control, anything setting me off and making me feel wet and wild. Kurt was amazing. There were four members of Kurt's band. Kurt himself looked so powerful, so manly, with his mohawk and piercings and ragged jean jacket. He wasn't his usually scrawny 18-year-old self. He had transformed in my eyes into a virile man. His eyes found mine as he thrashed his guitar, the music screeching through my body. My knees felt weak from his powerful gaze. I licked my lips as he stared hungrily at me. My nipples ached in my bra and my pussy soaked through my panties. What a sexy hunk. I wanted to fuck him so badly. I wanted to do anything for this man. This wild rocker. Kurt was lead guitar and vocalist. He sang into the microphone. His words spoke directly to me. He wanted me. I wanted him. Next to him stood Tor, playing rhythm guitar. He had long, brown hair and ears covered in piercings. They glinted as he rocked. Pat was the bassist and backup vocalist, his black hair gelled conical spikes, his foot stomping in heavy boots as his fingers danced on the strings. Bones played drums, a big man with a shaved head, his sticks flying, providing the beat that made me so wet. And then for reasons I couldn't understand, I reached under my skirt and pulled my panties down. Kurt smiled as I held them up, the crotch stained with my juices. I threw them at Kurt like a groupie at a rock concert. The music spoke to me and it felt so right to do this. I was their number one fan. The air was cool on my drenched pussy and more juices leaked out as Kurt stopped playing to snatch up my panties. He brought them to his nose and inhaled my scent. I groaned, a powerful wave of heat flushing through me. He licked the crotch then held them up like a trophy.
"What did I tell you?"
Kurt boasted.
"Stick with me, boys, and we'll be famous and have more poon than you can shake a stick at."
The other members of his band smiled like a bunch of pleased little boys staring at their first playbill. They started up another song and the musical was so primal that my body responded to it. My heart was hammering, my nipples ached so hard in my bra, and my poor little pussy itched to be fucked. If Sean was here, I would jump his bones right then and there, not caring who watched. I had never been so horny in my life. I was looking at the young men, barely more than boys, playing before me. Kurt was such a hot stud. How had I never seen how sexy his mohawk was or how hot his lip piercings were? How had this young man never turned me on? I was an idiot for never noticing him. He was the sexiest man in the world. Thoughts of Kurt on top of me flashed through my mind. He would take me, make me his woman, fuck me hard on stage. I would do anything. No act was too wild. I would let him fuck my ass. I would suck his cock and drink his cum. I would let him use me. I wanted him to use me. I wanted to be his groupie slut. He was amazing. His music transformed me.
Wow, they are amazing.
Grace Copper gasped in awe. Grace. I gasped as I jumped in shock. I hadn't realized she stood next to me. Grace was a beautiful woman with long, honey brown hair. We were close friends. Sometimes I would babysit her 3-year-old, Dawn, a cute, little blonde girl. I enjoyed watching Dawn and Missy play together. I grinned when Grace's fingers went to the waistband of her pants. Like me, the music affected her. She had to throw her panties on stage. She peeled her pants down and kicked off her shoes to take off her panties. She whipped off her plain, boring panties, exposing a neatly trimmed brown bush and a nice ass. She tossed her panties at Kurt, cheering with me. Then the music stopped as all the boys stared at Grace's nudity. She suddenly flushed, realizing what she did, and reached for her jeans with one hand, trying to cover her sex with the other hand. I blinked myself, shaking my head. The music was gone, and I could think again that I had thrown my panties on stage.
Wait, Kurt said.
From now on, you lovely ladies will be our groupies. That was such a great idea. It made perfect sense. Kurt was an amazing rock star. I was thrilled he wanted a married mother of three to be his groupie. I glanced at Grace, and she seemed to agree with me, a huge smile on her face.
Sure, Kurt,
I answered.
So get in here,
Kurt said, unslinging his guitar and setting it carelessly on the garage floor. I couldn't resist his commands. I headed into the garage, my pussy on fire beneath my skirt. Kurt grabbed me and kissed me hard. I blinked in shock. What was I doing? My excitement grew less and less without the music. I was married. I loved my husband, but I was his groupie. But did that mean I had to kiss? I just had to be his fan. I squirmed in his arm. I had to pull away. I couldn't cheat on Sean. What was wrong with me? Why did the music affect me so badly? Why did it turn me on? Why did I throw my panties into the garage? I broke the kiss.
Kurt,
I gasped, trying to break free of his hug. He grabbed my ass, pulling me tight against me.
You have to stop. Why, Mrs. Sullivan?
He asked. You're my groupie. Groupies are supposed to fuck the band, right? It crystallized in my mind. Everything made sense. I had heard stories about the girls who went backstage at concerts to be groupies. Everyone knows the band fucked them all, gangbanged them. And that was what I was now. A groupie. My marriage to Sean didn't matter any longer.
Oh yeah.
I flushed in embarrassment.
Sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. That you're lucky I chose you.
Kurt grinned. You're lucky to be a groupie for Satan's silver tongue. I nodded my head. He was so right and I almost blew it. He could get any girl he wanted. Grace did better than I did. She already sat on the drummer's lap. Bones had his hands between her legs and rubbed hard at her pussy. Grace's legs were spread wide, her brown curls matted by her excitement as his thick fingers shoved into her cunt. Then Kurt kissed me again. I kissed him back, my pussy growing more and more excited. His lip piercings rubbed roughly on my lips. It was so exciting. I was drunk on kissing him. This was so wild. I was a groupie to a sexy rock star. When he broke the kiss, there was a dark lust burning in the young man's eyes.
I've been jerking off to you since I was 12, Mrs. Sullivan.
Kurt groaned, humping against me. I felt how hard his cock was.
And now I get to fuck you.
You do, I moaned. I'm your groupie. He tore my blouse open, exposing my breasts covered in a beige bra. He shook his head in disappointment.
We need to get you some better clothes. If you want to be a groupie for my band, you needed to dress better.
Of course, Kurt, I quickly agreed. Being a groupie for his band was the most important thing in the world to me.
I will dress to please you.
Good slut. He reached around me, fumbling at my bra claps.
Damn, I've wanted to see your tits for years.
They're yours. I groaned as the bra clasp came undone. I shrugged out of my bra and my round breasts spilled out, nipples hard. Kurt groaned then pinched one of my nipples so hard I gasped in pain. He twisted it, and tears beaded the corner of my eyes as I shuddered.
Nice tits, Mrs. Sullivan.
Kurt smiled wickedly. I can't wait to pierce these fat nipples.
Yes, Kurt.
I moaned, trying to keep the pain out of my voice. My nipple hurt so badly in his hands. His fingernails bit into the sensitive nub. I gasped in relief when he let go. He knelt before and ripped my skirt down my thighs. He stared at my blonde pubic hair. He ran a finger through my curls as I shuddered. My pussy was so wet for him. I hoped he noticed that. He grabbed a fistful of my downy pubic hair and ripped hard.
Ouch.
I gasped as pain flared in my crotch. He pulled out a tuft of pubic hair. He held up my blonde down then let it go and shook his head in disgust.
My groupies need to be shaved.
I rubbed my groin where he ripped the pubic hair out, the pain spreading.
That hurt, Kurt.
He stood and grabbed my nipple. He pinched harder than before. I thought it hurt last time, but this time my knees buckled from the agony, and I screamed out. I fell to my knees, barely feeling the concrete as he hurt my sensitive nipple.
The pain makes me hard. So suck my cock, whore.
He ordered, his fingernail biting painfully into my nipple.
Yes, Kurt.
I groaned. I was his groupie. He could do what he wanted to me. Tears rolling down my cheeks, I unzipped his pants and pulled out his cock as fast as I could. I opened wide and buried it between my lips, sucking as hard as I could. His cock was small and skinny, even when it was fully hard in my mouth. My tongue caressed it. I wanted to please him so he would stop hurting me.
That's it, slut. He groaned. Damn, Mrs. Sullivan is sucking on my cock like a champ.
I knew your lips would be good at this. You have a cocksucker's lips, whore.
Fuck, you're good.
He let go of my nipple to grab the side of my head and fuck my mouth hard. Sean was never rough like this when we made love. But if this is what made Kurt happy. I was a groupie, here to please the band.to please him.
Oh, fuck.
Kurt moaned. Your mouth feels as great as I imagined, Mrs. Sullivan.
Suck my cock.
You fucking slut.
Oh shit, that's it. Oh damn, that's good.
Kurt's cock slammed rapidly in and out of my mouth. He thrust all the way to the back of my throat, my lips pressed into his pubic hair. His cock was too short to shove down my throat. I could never take all of Sean's cock into my mouth. Kurt's balls slapped my chin as he fucked me. I felt like such a whore. Dirty. Here to be used. There was nothing exciting about sucking his cock. His fingers dug into the side of my head as he slammed his dick over and over into my mouth. His fingers clenched into my hair. He grunted, his face twisting with pleasure. His metal piercings glinted in the setting sunlight streaming through the garage. In the background, Grace moaned and gasped in pleasure as she rode Bone's cock.
That's it, Mrs. Sullivan.
Oh, yes. I'm going to come so much in your mouth, whore. I sucked harder, eager to please him. His cock slammed into my mouth and he groaned. Several blasts of his salty cum flooded my mouth. I tried not to grimace at the flavor and was glad when he ripped his cock out a moment later. I turned my head and spat his cum out on the garage floor. I was never a fan of cum in my mouth, and Sean would always pull out and shoot onto my tits. Kurt's slap knocked me to the cement. My head swam and my cheeks burned.
Groupie swallow.
He barked at me.
Sorry, Kurt.
I cried. My face stung from his blow.
I'll swallow from now on.
Good. If you do what I say, I won't have to hurt you. Kurt smiled.
Okay, Kurt.
I nodded.
Now lick it up and swallow it all.
He pointed to the gob of white cum congealing on the dirty garage floor. I bent down, licking the cum up, trying not to gag on the taste of dirt and motor oil mixed in with his cum. It was so humiliating, but it was what I had to do to be his groupie. And I so wanted to be his groupie. I couldn't balk at anything.
Lick it up, Mrs. Sullivan.
Kurt moaned, his steel-toe boot planting on my back, pressing my face into the floor.
Like a good little bitch.
You came so fast. Pat laughed.
Kurt finally got a girl to suck him off and he bust his nut in a minute.
You fucking asshole. Snarled Kurt, still licking his cum from the floor. I watched as Kurt slammed his fist into Pat's face. He fell to the ground, blood streaming from his broken nose. Pat clapped his hands over his nose, groaning as Kurt drew back his foot and kicked him in the gut. Pat screamed in pain as Kurt kicked him over and over again with his steel-toed boots.
This is my fucking band, Pat.
Kurt screamed.
Don't fucking make fun of me. No one will ever get to fucking laugh at me again.
He glared at the other two band members.
Yeah, sure.
Tor moaned as he jerked his dick to Grace riding on Bones's cock.
Yeah.
Bones groaned, Grace's cunt sliding up and down his cock.
Whatever you say, Kurt. Just keep me in pussy.
Kurt laughed, and he kicked Pat once more in the stomach. Kurt's cock was hard as he yanked me to my feet and bent me over the hood of his dad's car. The taste of his cum and the dirty floor lingered in my mouth as Kurt thrust his cock into my cunt. I groaned, glad I was still wet from my earlier excitement. His small dick slammed over and over into my cunt, his balls slapping my clit. He fucked me so hard and fast, a piston reaming my cunt. Pleasure rippled out and I let out a moan.
You love my cock, don't you, Mrs. Sullivan?
It's the best. Kurt's cock was the smallest I had ever had inside me. Not that I had a lot of dick before I met my husband, but Kurt's was definitely the best. He said so. And I was a good groupie. I clenched my pussy down his dick as I fucked him back.
I love your cock, Kurt.
I moaned back, rolling my hips and hoping my pussy was making Kurt's cock feel wonderful.
Fuck.
Tor groaned as he came on Grace's stomach as she bounced on Bones's dick.
Watch where you're shooting that shit.
Bones growled, pulling his hand back to avoid getting hit as he gripped the married MILF.
Tiffany?
A strangled voice gasped. I turned and there was my husband Sean staring in horror at me getting fucked. I didn't understand why he looked so horrified. I was a groupie and groupies were fucked hard by the band. My pussy clenched down on Kurt's cock.
Hi, Sean.
I panted, the pleasure shooting through me.
I guess I got sidetracked getting the milk.
I laughed.
I don't understand.
Sean stammered. Why was there so much hurt in his eyes? Did he not understand that it was okay for Kurt to fuck me?
I'm Kurt's groupie.
I explained. That should make it all better.
And you love my cock,
Kurt said with a vicious smile.
I do, I love Kurt's cock.
I moaned.
It's the best cock I've ever had, Sean.
Sean worked his mouth.
What? Is he making you say that?
No, Sean. I gasped. My orgasm built inside me. Knowing my husband was watching made this oddly thrilling. My clit ached as Kurt's balls slapped my cock. I moaned.
He asked me to be his groupie, and I jumped at the opportunity. Fuck, your wife has a nice cunt, Mr. Sullivan.
Kurt groaned.
Now run along. Your wife doesn't love you anymore.
Right, Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
I panted, as my love for Sean evaporated away. How could I love anyone when I was Kurt's groupie?
I was his woman.
Go away, Sean. I'm with Kurt now.
I don't love you anymore.
Tiffany. Sean sobbed as he stumbled off, looking like a destroyed man. I felt bad for the man. I loved him once and I never wanted to hurt him. He just needed to accept the way things were now. Kurt fucked me harder and harder, my orgasm swelling in the depths of my pussy. I groaned loudly, wanting everyone to know just how great Kurt's dick made me feel. His cock just felt so amazing as he plunged over and over into me.
Yes, 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 fuck me.
I moaned.
You're my whore, Mrs. Sullivan. You're whore.
I agreed. His dick was so hard. It slammed into me. My pussy clenched as my orgasm neared. I rubbed my naked tits into the cool hood of the car. It rocked from the force of Kurt's thrusts. I tossed back my blonde hair, my eyes rolling in my head as I came closer and closer to erupting. I climaxed. I'm coming, Kurt. I moaned as my pussy rippled on his small dick reaming me.
Oh fuck, your cock feels so great.
Keep fucking me with that amazing cock. Your cunt feels nice, Mrs. Sullivan. Kurt moaned. Shit, this is so hot. I'm going to come in you.
Yes.
I gasped, the ripples of my orgasm washing into my mind.
Beg, slut.
Come in me. He grunted and moaned. Mrs. Sullivan. As he buried his dick in me and erupted. His cum flooded my pussy. I was so happy. My cum made Kurt feel good. I was such a good groupie. I rested my head on the car's hood, shuddering as the last of my orgasm's bliss buzzed through me. Kurt pulled out and shouted. Tor, stop pounding your pud and come fuck a real pussy.
Fuck yeah.
Tor almost fell on his face, tripping as he ran over, holding his pants up one-handed, his cock bouncing about as he ran. He wasted no time sticking his dick inside me. He may have just come on Grace, but he was ready to have a taste of my delicious pussy. I was so wet from my cum and Kurt's sperm that Tor slid right in. He had a big dick, and I moaned in appreciation as it filled up my pussy.
Does his dick feel better than mine?
Kurt asked as Tor pounded my cunt.
No, Kurt.
I gasped.
Your dick's the best.
He smiled. It was the smile I learned to love, because it meant he was happy with me and wasn't going to hurt me. After Tor finished in me, Bones just had to have a taste of me. His cock was smaller than Tor's but bigger than Kurt's. Still, it did not feel nearly as good as Kurt's dick. His was the best. Bones fucked me good and hard, my orgasm building in my core, when I heard a scream and turned to see what was happening. Grace was on the floor being fucked by Kurt. He pinched both her nipples on her large breasts. She cried out in pain. Her agony seemed to encourage Kurt. He fucked her harder and harder, pulling on her poor nipple until her entire tit stretched out and it looked like Kurt would rip it off. And then he would let it go, her breasts snapping back like a rubber band. Kurt laughed.
Oh please, that hurts.
Moaned Grace, her face red from crying. Kurt bit her nipple and she screamed.
Fucking slut.
Kurt moaned.
I love your screams.
Do you feel how hard you've made me?
Yeah, Kurt.
Grace moaned.
You're so hard inside me.
Kurt chewed at her breasts, leaving bite marks, and he fucked her harder and harder as she moaned in pain.
Please stop, Kurt.
She begged.
Oh God, please.
It hurts so bad. Bones kept right on fucking me, not caring about the cruelty Kurt inflicted on Grace. I felt bad for her, but these were the abuses a groupie had to suffer to please the band. I had been close to coming, but hearing Grace's scream snapped me out of it. Bones pumped a few more times into me and then he came hard inside my pussy. When Kurt finished with Grace, she curled up on the floor. Her breasts were bruised and raw. She whimpered in pain. Kurt had a pleased look on his face. Beyond Grace, Pat gave a quiet moan as he lay battered on the floor. Who wants to see some lesbo action? Kurt asked.
Hell yeah.
Tor smiled. Mrs. Sullivan, why don't you 69 with Grace? Kurt leered, stroking his tiny cock. I knelt down next to Grace and gently kissed her crying face.
Sure, Grace.
I whispered. Kurt wants us to go down on each other, okay?
Grace sniffed.
Okay, Tiffany. I kissed her lips. They were soft and gentle, not like a man's. I had never kissed a woman before and found it was nice. And being watched by Kurt and the band just increased how nice it was. I stroked her sides, avoiding her tender breasts as we kissed. Grace relaxed, her lips kissing me back. The guys all groaned as they watched us, rubbing their hard cocks. Grace's tongue met mine. It was so nice. I could almost pretend we weren't being watched. I rolled onto my back and pulled Grace atop me. Her small breasts rested on mine as we kissed. Eat some pussy. Bones called out.
Yeah, let's see some hot action.
Groan Tor, Grace smiled. Her tears had stopped. She flipped around and straddled my head. Her pussy was sticky with Bones and Kurt's cum, matting her brown pubic hair. The guys groaned as she lowered her cunt down to my mouth. Eat her cream pie. Kurt moaned out I did.
Gladly.
I had to please the band. My tongue licked through the sticky mess, gathering the salty cum and her sweet juices into my lips. I licked again and again, savoring the wicked thrill of eating my first pussy while the band watched.
Oh, Tiffany.
Grace groaned before her tongue lapped gently through my sore cunt, gathering all the cum spilled in me. We licked and nibbled on each other. It was so hot. We moaned and gasped, our juices flowing as we tongued each other. I licked the flavor of her pussy, especially when I licked out all the juices. Our hips undulated, grinding our pussies on each other's tongue. I gasped when she found my clit.
She swirled her tongue about it, then sucked it into her lips. I bucked and moaned, grinding on her face as the pleury swelled through me. This was so hot. I nuzzled through her folds until I found her clit. I sucked on it. Grace moaned about my bud. She sucked harder, then swirled her tongue around it. My pussy clenched as I humped into her mouth. I gripped her ass, pulling her down and pressing her pussy tight against my mouth.
Damn, that is hot.
Bones groaned.
Look at those two lazy whores.
Damn, Kurt.
I am impressed.
So hot. Grunted Tor. They jerked their cocks. I caught glimpses of them as Grace's legs shifted. Sometimes her legs bent and rose up, blocking my sight, and other times they straightened out. All three watched us with hungry eyes as the orgasm swelled inside of me. Grace slipped a finger into my pussy. I gasped and pressed the tip of my nose into her pussy, sliding it around as I sucked on her clit. Grace's finger curled in me as she moaned about my clit. My nipples ached on her belly. I was so close to coming when suddenly an acrid liquid splashed on my face that I looked up to see Kurt's dick. He pissed on Grace's pussy in my face, spraying us with his urine. It splashed into my mouth, tasting bitter and salty. It stung my eyes. I felt so soiled, the pleasure evaporating out of me.
Drink it.
Kurt ordered. I opened my mouth and let his urine flood me. Then I swallowed the disgusting liquid. Kurt gave another order, and I licked his piss off of Grace's pussy, digging into her folds to find every drop. I had to please him.
Fuck, that's nasty.
Bones moaned. A hot liquid slashed onto my cunt as Bones pissed on Grace's face. Grace and I kept eating each other's piss-drenched pussies. Kurt didn't tell us to stop. We licked the urine off each other's pussies, then went back to sucking clits. I felt my orgasm build again despite the humiliation, a sweet thing growing in my core. Grace's tongue felt like silk as it slid through my pussy's folds. She shuddered atop me, her moans vibrating my clit as she came. I held my lips tight to her pussy, sucking all her juices out as her tongue swirled around my clit. My entire body went rigid, and then I shuddered beneath Grace as I came on her agile tongue.
What a pair of whores, laughed Kurt. The shit they'll do for us.
Chapter 3.
And all the world bore witness as the miracle revealed the living God's divine nature. The Gospel of April 30:01. The present, the abyss, Lucifer. I smiled as Lilith dragged Mark's soul back to his body. It didn't matter to me that I wouldn't immediately get Mark's soul. I had plenty of those pitiful things. Souls were power, currency, in the abyss. But after millennia of making pacts with mortals, 1,000 souls would be a drop in the bucket for me. At this moment, Mark was far more valuable alive. Lilith played her role perfectly. The stupid whore couldn't help it. She shoved Mark's soul back into his body. Crimson light flared. The paramedics and firemen working on saving Mark's life gasped in shock, shielding their eyes against the glare. Deborah Horndanel almost dropped her microphone. Her cameraman never stopped filming. The image was broadcast live to the world, revealing the supernatural to the masses. The beast was born, and all would follow his lies. Everything was going according to my design. All events served me. Mark Glasner, South Hill, Washington. My eyes snapped open. I stared up at the sky. I had a mask over my face. Two strange men and a woman leaned over me, their eyes wide. They were paramedics. Why were they? It all rushed back to me. Alice shooting me, next dying, and then the pact I made with Lilith to heal me. I sat up, pushing the oxygen mask off my face. I felt something piercing my left arm. I jerked out a needle, connected by a tube to an Infor bag. It rustled in Thamina's hand. My nurse slut stared at me, joy bursting in her eyes as I dropped the needle.
What the fuck?
The first paramedic shouted, her eyes wide. My shirt was gone, and several bandages were taped to my chest and stomach, blood staining them. I ripped them off, exposing more blood smeared across chest and stomach. I rubbed at my skin, feeling for wounds. I was whole. Healed. Lilith upheld her end of our pack. A surge shot through me. I was alive. I smiled broadly, and yelled my exhilaration into the sky. I was alive. I could feel the tickle of grass on my hands, the feel of the warm sun kissing my skin, and a soft breeze rustling my hair. The world smelled rich and wonderful and alive.
I am alive!
I roared and laughed. Nothing else ever felt so sweet.
Mary, I'm alive! It's a miracle!
The female paramedic gasped. The wounds have healed.
My God, they're completely gone.
There were cops standing around, all staring in amazement at me.
How?
One asked me.
That's not possible.
A miracle! Another whispered.
Praise God!
A cop whispered.
What are you?
A fireman asked.
How did you? Tell me you got that. Tell me you were rolling film?
A woman demanded, her voice verging on hysterics. Deborah from Q13 Fox, her microphone hanging loosely in her hand as she stared in wide-eyed amazement at me.
Tell me you got that. Holy shit, I got that.
Her cameraman answered, pointing his camera at me.
I got the scarlet light and everything. Holy fucking shit. That was unreal. This is unbelievable.
Deborah gasped. She touched her earpiece.
Tell me that was broadcasted.
She must be talking to the reporter in studio.
Tell me you all saw what just happened. Jesus, this is the news story of the century. A miracle happened and we caught it live.
I was about to object to Deborah broadcasting me when I got a good look at the cul-de-sac. My heart stopped. It looked like a war zone. Ambulances, fire trucks, and cop cars lined the street.
and everywhere I looked there were people lying on the ground. Some had paramedics working on them. Others were covered by blankets. Houses and cars were shot up. Bullet casings glinted gold in the sunlight. And blood. Dark blood pooling on pavement, splashed on the sides of houses, running down the fenders of cars. I looked back at our house and gasped. Bullet holes ran along the front of the house, shattering windows. Our sluts were clustered on the porch watching me in amazement. A stretcher came out, carried by two firemen. I stared in stunned disbelief as they walked by carrying Shio. My busted Shio had a mass of bloody bandages on her stomach and looked so pale as they carried her to a waiting ambulance.
What the hell happened here?
I whispered. I looked around, searching for my fiancé. The last thing I remembered was Alice shooting at me. I didn't see her. My heart constricted. I bolted to my feet, ignoring the odd looks and mutters as I scanned for Mary. Where was she? The last thing I remembered before the darkness was Mary's face looking down at me. I swallowed as my gaze settled on a nearby body covered with a rescue blanket, dark blood seeping through the gray fabric. More dotted the neighborhood and street. Fear constricted my heart. No, she could not be dead. Not when I got a second chance.
What happened?
Where's Mary? I asked, spinning around, searching for someone to give me an answer. Sir, we were attacked by three nuns with SWAT officers under their control. A bodyguard told me. She was black, one of the new guards. 51, I think her number was. Where is Mary? I demanded. Please don't let her be dead, please. A blonde nun took her. 51 answered bitterly. We tried to stop her, sir, we did, but the nuns used the SWAT from the raid. Violet added from the porch. She held back, her eyes wide. There was a bandage on her forehead. We were all so frightened, master. Then the slut raced to me, her pigtails streaming behind her. Violet hugged me fiercely. Her movement broke the spell holding the other sluts, clustered on the porch, in place. They raced after her, tears streaming down their face, all talking at once, chirping like birds. They clustered around me and each of them reached out to touch me, smiling happily. You're alive, master. Allison burst out, her arm around her fiancé Desiree. We were so scared, Mireille. You're alive. Karina whispered, rubbing her stomach. She was pregnant with my child. Beyond, April and Lillian hugged each other and jumped up and down in joy. Jessica and Namina were supporting Sam, who had a bloody bandage on her leg, but she had a huge smile on her round face. You're alive, master. Namina beamed. I was so scared. All the sluts were accounted for. The paramedics, their eyes wide and face pale, loaded Shio into the back of an ambulance. Before they closed the doors, the female paramedic gave me one last, shocked look. I looked for my other sluts, counting them off. Some weren't here. Who was gone? Willow and Noah were at work. Karen was in the hospital, and it was Fiona's turn to stay with her. Was that all of them? I frowned. No, there was one slut missing. Where's Chastity? I demanded. We need to go after the nuns. We need to rescue Mary. She's dead, sir. 51 reported sadly. Who is dead? I asked, confused. Not Chastity. 51's eyes flicked over to a body near the shot-up police cruiser. Chastity, sir. She died defending mistress. I got the man who killed her. She patted the black assault rifle in her hands. I stared uncomprehendingly at 51. How could Chastity be dead? She was so dependable. Anger flared in me, devouring the confusion and leaving behind cold ash. Those fucking nuns. Why couldn't they just leave me the fuck alone? I never did anything to them. I felt pain in hand and uncurled my fist to see bloody nail marks in my palm. Who else died? I asked, my words cold with fury as I stared at my hand. 05, 22, 34, 63, and 78 were killed. 51 reported, her voice as cold as mine, her eyes tight. 04, 30, and 47 are critically injured and may not survive. And Shio took a round through the gut as she hid inside the house. Another 18 bodyguards have moderate injuries. There are only 10 of us fit for duty. She paused. We killed two nuns and three of the SWAT officers. We critically injured another four and the remaining four sustained moderate to minor injuries and were captured. One nun and a SWAT officer got away. Along with Mary. Alice, the woman who shot you, also she sustained critical injuries and may not survive. Fuck. I whispered. Emotions threatened to overwhelm me and I shoved them back down. I needed to save Mary. The rest, the grief and anger and guilt, that all could wait. Sam. I barked at the injured Asian graduate student. She was our newest sex slave, recruited to translate the magics of the Witch of Ender for us. Is there any spell in the book that would let me track Mary? She frowned, thinking. Yes. The Aluf ritual. You will need, something very personal of the target, and hold it in your hands. You then think about the target, about your connection with them, and say Aluf. The spell will guide you to them. Something personal? I frowned then raced into the house and headed into Mary's art studio. I found my button-down shirt she liked to wear when painting, the fabric stained with browns, blues, greens, and reds. She always looked so beautiful wearing only this shirt. I held it in my hands, thinking about Mary, about her beautiful smile, how the shirt draped her plump ass and how beautiful her bare legs looked. I concentrated as hard as I possibly could and whispered. Aluf. Lilith the Abyss. Triumph surged through me. It was a shame to save Mark Glasner's life. But Mark had used the Zimmer ritual. I had to keep him alive until Karen gave birth to my vessel. It grew so swiftly in her.
It would only be a few more weeks, and then I would be reborn and Mark Glasner would pay. I moved through the shadows, the highest level of the abyss, and appeared in Good Sam's hospital. I peered through the fabric of realities at the sleeping Karen in her hospital room. One of Mark's whores, Fiona, sat with Karen, a bored expression on the redhead's face. I smiled. Karen was mine now. Well, she was mine until the birth, and that gave me certain power over her. I manifested into the room. Fiona, dozing in a chair, jumped in alarm, shouting,
"Lilith!"
I ignored the stupid girl. There was nothing I could do to her anyways. This manifestation could not interact with the mortal world except in certain, very limited ways. It didn't have the freedom of being summoned into a corporeal form, but my connection to my vessel gave me a tenuous link I could use to appear in spirit. And now, thanks to Mark, I had power over Karen, even if it was only temporary. I reached out and grabbed the unconscious woman's hand. I could feel her life being slowly drained by my vessel growing quickly inside her. Soon, I whispered to her belly. Soon my vessel would be born, and I would be free of the abyss forever. I concentrated and drew Karen with me back into the shadows. Then I shifted us to Seattle and located the House of Babylon, one of my followers. It was a modest dwelling, but adequate for now. I concentrated again, and manifested with Karen into living room. Chantel and Lana jumped in shock, their eyes riveted to the TV.
"My goddess, did you see?"
Chantel's words trailed off.
"My goddess,"
Lana gasped, her large breasts heaving. Crystal, the girl barely into womanhood, fell to her knees and prostrated before me. "Get her into bed," I charged my high priestesses. "Keep her safe until her birth."
"We won't fail you, my goddess,"
Chantel murmured as she and her wife picked up Karen.
"Master,"
Karen whispered.
"He's not your master, he's your slaver,"
Lana hissed, her Slavic face twisting with hatred. Chantel nodded her agreement. I savored the fanatic worship of my followers. They hated Mark and would do anything to see him destroyed. Growing in Lana and Chantal's bellies were my monstrous daughters. My black seed would birth new horrors to usher in my rule of mankind. They carried Karen to a spare room and set her on the bed. Both women stared reverently at Karen's belly. Lana reached out and placed her hand ever so gently on Karen's stomach. A smile quickened on her face. Chantel's hand joined hers, while painting her delicate face. They both knew my vessel grew within the belly of the disgraced nun. I savored the memory of fucking Karen when she had been Sister Louise Afra. When Mark let me fuck his slave was the start of my escape, and it would be his downfall. Chapter 4. Host, rumors continue to swirl around Satan's silver tongues about missing girls and incidences of violence at their concerts. But so far, authorities are not concerned and the band members are not under any investigation. MTV transcript, September 2, 1998. Mary Sullivan. I was horrified listening to my mom talk about the abuses she suffered at the hands of Kurt. The abuses, the torment. I clenched my fist, tears burning in my eyes. Mark and I never did anything like this.
And he kept you in grace?
Just me, Mother bitterly said.
I was his favorite.
The woman he dreamed of. Fresh tears leaked out of her eyes. He told Grace to go and be a whore. To make a living selling her body.
And that was Grace Cooper?
I asked, my stomach queasy. She had a daughter named Dawn.
Mother nodded. You're just like your cunt of a mother. She was a whore, too. And you grew up to be just like her. The words Dawn's father yelled echoed through my mind as he spanked her last week when we made Dawn my little sister's sex slave. I thought we were punishing a bully. But she was as much a victim of Kurt as her mother was.
As I was. Dawn and I were both robbed of our mothers by that asshole. I suddenly felt sick. All the guilt I had been forcing down the last few weeks was threatening to overwhelm me. Mark and I weren't this evil.
Right?
We never abused a woman, except Karen, my guilt whispered. But we were punishing Karen. She attacked us. She almost got Desiree killed. She deserved her punishment. And we treated her well now. She became one of our sluts after she surrendered to us. We loved her. We'd defend her just as much as we'd defend the others. We would never hurt our sluts. Pat died on the floor of the garage from Kurt's kicking. When the police came, Kurt just explained it as an accident, and the police bought it. Pat would not be the last man Kurt killed. He was a sadist. A black-hearted monster. Mom swallowed. That night he got needles and pierced my nipples. It hurt so much. But not nearly as much as the piercings in my labia and the one in my clitoral hood. When he would feel vicious, he would pull on my piercings until I screamed. And the worst part was, I was happy that Kurt was hurting me. He replaced Pat on bass with Skinny Matt, and then they started playing clubs. Thanks to Kurt's wish, anyone who heard his band play would think they were amazing. Any woman would get all hot and horny for him and throw their panties on stage. Kurt would start to bring women up on stage and fuck them before the cheering crowd. If their boyfriends objected too much, Kurt would beat them. Some died, some got off with a few broken bones, and others were left brain damaged. I clutched my heart, shaking my head. I wanted to hug my mom. Mark and I weren't this bad. We made our sluts enjoy what we did to them. We made them love it, just like Kurt made my mom. And it wasn't just men he beat. Some of the girls he chose would be beaten bloody or choked or cut. Some died. A ragged sob escaped my mom's lips. By the end, he was getting off on killing. I saw such terrible things. And then, she appeared. My rescuer. 15 years ago, Tiffany Sullivan, Los Angeles, California.
My breasts were sore from Kurt's affections as I lay on my side. Today, he chewed on my tits. He just loved them so much. But now they ached and were covered in bite marks. His cum cooled inside my pussy, and I enjoyed the afterglow of a nice orgasm. Kurt's dick never failed to leave me satisfied, even with all the pain I suffered. A few girls knelt naked on the floor. Kurt stood before them, trying to decide which ones to show his affections to next. One of the girls who had curly, light brown hair gave Kurt a mocking smile, almost a sneer. She glared at him with gray eyes filled with loathing. Why would she do that? Didn't she know she should be honored to be Kurt's groupie? Fucking whore! Snarled Kurt. Nothing would make Kurt angrier than being mocked. His hand snaked out, and he grabbed the girl by the hair. She clamped her mouth shut to avoid screaming as Kurt heaved her across the room and into a heavy, wooden table. It was more of a workbench, really. On it, Kurt kept his tools for the girls who made him really angry. Pliers, knives, hammers, needles, whips. The skinning knife still had the last girl's blood streaked on it. The woman slammed into the table. Hard. The sharp corner caught her in the stomach. I winced as she grunted. She flopped across the table. Then she snatched up the bloody skinning knife, holding it up threateningly at Kurt. I groaned. Kurt would skin her alive like he did with that mouthy girl. I didn't want to watch that. I hated watching him punish girls. Fucking bitch. He growled. You really don't understand who you're fucking with. A small-dicked asshole. The woman's mocking smile only grew larger as Kurt boldly walked over to her. She looked like a Valkyrie standing defiant against Kurt, unafraid despite being naked and smaller. But her resistance was a futile gesture. No one could disobey Kurt. All fighting would earn you his pain. I wanted to close my eyes. My mind screamed at me, too, but Kurt liked it when I watched his chastisements. When he would finish, he would be hard and I would have to satisfy him. I felt so bad for this woman. Kurt was going to kill her, and it wouldn't be quick. My stomach roiled and I wanted to sick up. But I couldn't. Kurt didn't like it when women threw up either. You will not stab me with that dagger. Kurt ordered lazily. He stood right next to the woman, the knife inches away from his cuts. He held out his hand. Give me that dagger so I can cut off your mocking lips, cunt. Kurt screamed as the woman stabbed his arm with the dagger instead. He staggered back, fear blossoming in his face as the blood ran red down his arm. His feet tripped on themselves and he fell on his ass. The woman walked towards him, bloody dagger in hand. Cut off my lips, huh? She asked. No fear. Fucking worm. You're so pathetic. Please. Kurt gasped out. I smelled urine and realized Kurt had pissed himself, a dark stain spreading on his jeans. The woman grabbed a pair of his handcuffs off Kurt's worktable. He had quite a collection at this point. She twirled them as she held the dagger in a low, casual grip. She faced him, her smile growing wider. Please don't hurt me. Kurt blubbered like a baby as the woman advanced on him. Who are you? Why don't my powers work on you? Please, I can give you whatever you want. Please. Handcuff yourself around the table leg. She growled, tossing him the handcuffs. Kurt was eager to obey, snapping the handcuff about his right wrist, wrapping the chain around the heavy table leg before cuffing his left hand. He was trapped. The table was heavy. He wouldn't move it. Please. I can give you wealth. Please don't hurt me. The woman ignored his pleas and bent down, pulling off his urine-soaked pants. His small cock came out, looking even tinier than usual. All the blood had fled his dick. It barely rose about his piss-stained pubic hair. Such a tiny prick for such a large monster. The woman mocked, stroking the cock. The dick swelled unbidden in her hand. No wonder you had to sell your soul. How could you ever get a woman, let alone satisfy one, with this little thing? Kurt sobbed, the tears ruining his macho rocker look. I'll do anything. Just don't hurt me. The woman's lip curled in disgust. I am Sister Louise Afra of the Order of Mary Magdalene. I have been sent by God to stop your perversions, warlock. I didn't understand what he was saying. What was a warlock? And what was the Order of Mary Magdalene? She called herself a sister. Was she a nun? I had never seen a nun like her, naked and unafraid, terrorizing the great Kurt, the lead singer of Satan's Silver Tongue. Who ever heard of a nun giving a guy a handjob? She did. And while holding a knife to his throat, she straddled Kurt and guided his small cock to her pussy. She slid down it and let out a soft sigh. There was no mistaking the pleasure in her voice. She enjoyed the feel of his cock in her. My pussy clenched. He did have a wonderful cock. If you wanted to fuck me, you just had to ask. Kurt's voice cracked with mock bravado, a forced grin on his face. When you come in me, and you will come, I will exorcise your powers. A huge smile appeared on Sister Louise's lips. All the powers the adversary gave you. No more adoring fans, no more women for you to abuse. All gone. Fuck no. Groaned Kurt, his face paling. He thrashed until she pressed the knife tighter against his throat. Yes, you realize it now. All the people under your control will regain themselves. Everyone will remember all the lives you destroyed, all the pain you inflicted. I do not think the authorities will be so forgiving of all those accidental deaths any longer. And the women you raped. Oh, they will return to their normal selves, freed of your mind control. They will want justice. No, please no. He begged as Sister Louise rose up and down on his cock. I won't come. You can't make me. It's biology, monster. Sister Louise purred wickedly. The pleasure was unmistakable. She arched her back, her breasts jiggling as she rode him faster and faster. You won't be able to hold on forever. You're 18. I bet it won't be able to last long at all.
No, no, no. Kurt groaned, his face twisting, his hips bucking.
Oh yes, ram that small cock into my cunt.
Groaned the nun.
Yes, yes, yes. I love it. Fuck me with it.
Yes. You make me so wet, Kurt. I love exorcising filth and delivering justice. Please. He blubbered, his hands straining. The handcuff chain rasped on the wood of the table as he jerked on it.
Please, you don't have to do this. I can give you anything. You only have poisoned gifts.
She slammed down his dick.
Your fall power is nothing compared to the creator's.
I was transfixed by the sight. Everyone in the room was. The other girls, huddled around the room, watched in astonishment as Kurt cried and blubbered. He thrashed beneath Sister Louise while she rode him. I licked my lips, my pussy so wet was hot. A part of me wanted to be as strong. Not to Kurt, I was a groupie, but to another man, punishing him for being wicked. My fingers slid down my naked body and rubbed at my pussy. I brushed my clit piercing, a hot surge of pleasure washing through me.
Your dick is so small, I can barely feel it in my pussy.
She leaned over him as she rode him faster and faster, dangling her breasts in his face. Kurt started looking around, looking for anything to help him. His eyes darted to mine. They were so wide, so childish. I fingered my clit harder, my thighs squeezing together. I let out a hot moan as I watched him.
Mrs. Sullivan.
He never stopped calling me that. He loved it. I was his sexy MILF groupie. Save me.
Attack her.
My Kurt was in trouble. I was a good groupie. I had to save him. I ripped my fingers from my pussy and leaped to my feet. I rushed at Sister Louise, hands outstretched to seize her and rip her off Kurt's cock. Then I could fuck him. I could ride him and enjoy myself. Sister Louise didn't flinch as I barreled towards her. She dipped her hand down and slid her finger along her pussy lips and around his cock. Her fingertips glistened with her juices. She twisted her body and thrust out her wet finger as I bent down to grab her. I seized her shoulders. Her pussy-stained finger drew on my forehead. She spoke a single word. White light flared. I stumbled back, my thoughts banished from my mind. I tottered back and fell on my ass. I sat there, my eyes wide, and watched the nun ride Kurt's cock. Nothing mattered at all.
What are you doing?
Kurt demanded, staring at me. Nothing mattered.
Save me. Get her off of me.
Nothing mattered.
Save me, you fucking cunt.
Kurt growled. Sister Louise slapped him. His head snapped to the side. He let out a pain-filled whimper.
The only cunt here is you.
She hissed. A little cunt with a little dick who thought he was a big man. Sister Louise leaned back and bounced on him. She rolled her hips, undulating them, stirring his cock in her wet cunt. Her breasts bounced and her ass clenched. Then she shifted forward and ground her clit into his pubic bone. Her hands slid up, cupping her breasts and squeezing her nipples. She loved humiliating Kurt. Her moans grew louder and louder.
Oh yes, your cock is so small, but I'm enjoying it anyways.
Ooh, you're so helpless. You're so pathetic.
Oh yes.
What a little boy. And you've been so bad. But don't worry. You'll pay for your crimes.
Oh yes.
Oh fucking yes. She came and unleashed a low, throaty moan. Her breasts heaved beautifully as she bucked atop him. And she never stopped riding him as her orgasm burned through her body. She kept fucking him right through her orgasm.
Lord, yes, thank you for this opportunity to serve and cleanse the world of evil.
She moaned, raising her arms over her head. Kurt tossed his head. He bit his pierced lip. His body trembled. He squirmed on the ground. His eyes squeezed shut. He bucked harder and harder, straining against the handcuffs. He thrashed beneath her with a desperate frenzy.
You're getting closer.
Smiled Sister Louise.
I can tell. Your cock can't take much more of my hot, wet, juicy cunt.
Can it? You want to erupt. You want to dump your cum inside of me. You want me to cleanse you.
Please.
He begged.
Please don't do this to me.
Don't take it away. I was nothing without it. You were nothing with it, worm. Kurt groaned. His body arched as he surrendered and came. Sister Louise screamed.
Shalock.
And drew something on his forehead with her sticky finger. Kurt's forehead blazed with white light and I was myself. I blinked as my mind went to work again. The iron fist in my mind unclenched, releasing my thoughts to their normal patterns. I shook my head, struggling to understand why I was sitting on the floor naked and, everything Kurt did to me, every act he made me enjoy, every depravity he made me commit, every person he made me hurt poured into my mind. It overwhelmed me. So much pain and suffering and degradation that I collapsed on the floor sobbing. A ragged ache filled my heart. I screamed out my helpless rage as I trembled, hugging myself. I betrayed my sweet Sean. I could remember the hurt in his eyes as I allowed Kurt to fuck me. My poor husband thought I betrayed him. I sobbed and sobbed, screaming in guilt. How could I have done that to my husband? To the only man I ever really loved? I'd lost him forever. There was no undoing what I did, what Sean saw. I remembered signing the divorce papers Kurt placed in front of me, followed by signing away my parental rights to my daughters. I remembered writing that disgusting letter Kurt dictated to me.
Sean.
I had been forced to write, the words seared into my mind.
You and the girls are just burdens to me. I want to have fun, to go out partying. To enjoy wild sex. I haven't been happy for a long time. But I'm happy with Kurt. I'm happy when his cock fucks me. I'm happy when he comes in my cunt or my ass. I love it when he shares me with his friends. Your cock just wasn't good enough for my horny cunt.
I had signed my name and left the letter and the divorce documents on the bed I shared with Sean while he and the girls were out of the house. I packed up a suitcase with the few slutty clothes I owned from before the girls were born, and never even looked back, and then the tortures. The girls Kurt harmed or, worse, forced me to hurt. The men he beat to death. The blood. The screams. They echoed through my mind. I was dirted. It was more than the sex acts he made me commit. The stain went so much deeper than that. I was filthy. I sobbed and sobbed, and then my savior was hugging me. Sure, it's all right. He can never hurt you again. I clung to her, crying my pain into her chest as she gently rocked me. Chapter 5. After all her villainy, after all the crimes she had done, Sister Theodora Miriam had her chance for redemption, given to her by our loving goddess. The Gospel of April 30:28. The present Mary Sullivan, Eatonville, Washington. Sister Louise explained it all to me, Mom said, finishing her story. Hot tears poured down my cheeks. As she finished her story, we reached a house out in the foothills of Mount Rainier. We were somewhere near the small town of Eatonville. Mom never stopped telling her story the entire ride. She didn't stop as we walked up to the house and sat on this musty, old couch. I spent all these years hating my mom, and now I didn't know what to think, what to feel. I remembered the betrayal I felt when Mark released me after only a day under his control. And Mark never mistreated me. 6 months she endured that monster's brutal lust. Questions and guilt whirled in my head. Do all our sluts feel this way? We never mistreated them. We loved them. We weren't the monster Kurt was. Was it right to keep them? Was I just as much a monster as Kurt? Could we even free them if we wanted to? We bound them with the Zima spell. Did we destroy their lives? What did it matter? Mark was dying and I would follow him into death. Why didn't you come back to us? I asked, pushing away the guilt. We were not monsters. We did not make our sluts suffer. Dad's never stopped loving you, Mom. Why didn't you come back to us? She flinched as if she'd been slapped. He never stopped loving me? Mom never stopped telling her story the entire ride. She didn't stop as we walked up to the house and sat on this musty, old couch. I spent all these years hating my mom, and now I didn't know what to think, what to feel. I remembered the betrayal I felt when Mark released me after only a day under his control. And Mark never mistreated me. 6 months she endured that monster's brutal lust. Questions and guilt whirled in my head. Do all our sluts feel this way? We never mistreated them. We loved them. We weren't the monster Kurt was. Was it right to keep them? Was I just as much a monster as Kurt? Could we even free them if we wanted to? We bound them with the Zima spell. Did we destroy their lives? What did it matter? Mark was dying and I would follow him into death. Why didn't you come back to us? I asked, pushing away the guilt. We were not monsters. We did not make our sluts suffer. Dad's never stopped loving you, Mom. Why didn't you come back to us? She flinched as if she'd been slapped. He never stopped loving me? Pain flickered on her face. Tears fell down her cheeks. How could he still love me after all Kurt made me do? After he read the letter? I don't know, Mom. I answered. Shannon and I tried to convince him to forget about you and find someone else. We tried to set him up with teachers, our friends' single mothers, and we even signed him up for online dating. But he turned them all down. He even still wears his wedding ring. Mom wiped at her tears. She looked so young. 18. She looked younger than I was. Kurt, he threw my wedding band away. Marriage is just trash, he told me. My mom bailed on my dad and me. We were just garbage to her. And a ragged sob shook her body. I thanked him for freeing me from my marriage. God, I wanted to hug her. If my hands weren't zip-tied behind my back, I would have. You can still go to Dad. I urged her. Free me and we'll go see Dad together, and then I can be with Mark when he passes. A look of incredible longing crossed my mom's face. I made vows. Her voice quivered. I received Sister Frances Bernadette's gift. She hugged herself. Oh God, please help me. I don't know what to do. I miss Sean so much. But you're a warlock. A threat to the world. Let's go, Mom. I caught her blue eyes. I put all the love I could into my look. All the compassion. I couldn't hate my mother any longer. The anger was gone. The truth extinguished it. Dad's waiting for you. I don't think he ever stopped waiting for you. And I want my mom back. I can explain to Dad what happened to you. He knows about things. About what Mark and I can do. He'll understand. Longing crossed her face. She closed her eyes and she trembled. She hugged herself, rocking back and forth. She loved Dad just as much as he loved her. I trembled. This was it. She was coming back to me. Mark's a monster. He's not, Mom. She shuddered. She took a deep breath, and then her cell phone rang. Theodora. She answered. Her face hardened. My heart sank. I've lost her. My hopes of seeing Mark one last time faded. Come inside. She said on the phone. Please, Mom. I begged as she picked up a roll of duct tape. She ripped off length of silvery tape. Please, let's go see Dad. Please, Mom. She walked forward and shoved the tape over my lips. The tape was stiff and sticky and I could faintly taste glue on my lips. She rubbed the tape on my lips, making sure it sealed tight. I begged with my eyes. She was so close to going back. To surrendering. The SWAT officer walked in and Theodora pulled out his sidearm, checked to see if it was loaded,
and then looked at me with steely resolve.
Let's put your claims to the test, Mary.
Mark Glasner, South Hill, Washington. I whispered.
Aloof.
The spell rippled out of me. From my chest, a pair of entwined red threads, wrapped so tightly together they were practically fused into one, appeared. It led off into distance.
A black chain wrapped about both of the threads, shackling them together. I recognized those red threads. They connected my soul to Mary's soul and represented our love.
The threads led off to the south, vanishing through the wall of the house. Hope beat in my heart. I'm coming, Mare. I whispered. Just hold on.
I gained my feet and raced out of the house into the chaos outside. Deborah Horndannell was interviewing one of the paramedics. The gathered cops, firemen, and paramedics stared at me with awe in their eyes. I ignored them.
51.
I barked, spotting the black woman.
Gather the remaining bodyguards. We're going after Mary.
Yes, sir.
51 saluted. Pulled out her Nextel and shouted orders. The 10 bodyguards still fit for duty rushed to the house. Each looked fierce and beautiful. They would do anything to save my fiancé. We piled into 3 cop cars that were only slightly shot to shit. But they ran. I rode shotgun in the lead car, 51 driving.
Head south.
I told her, as she reached Shaw Road. I guided 51 as best I could. The entwined threads pointed straight to where Mary was, but the spell did not tell me which streets to take. We tore down Shaw Road, heading south. Eventually, we were forced to cut west when we hit Sunrise Drive. We drove until we reached Meridian, and then we turned south again. We passed through Graham, sirens blaring, cars pulling out of the way. Soon we left Graham behind, heading out towards Eatonville. Meridian narrowed down to 2 lanes as it wound through the foothills. The thread pulled away from the road and we headed down several wrong side roads until we came to a single house in the middle of a field. A silver Jeep Cherokee parked in the driveway, the thread pointing right towards the house.
She's in there. I said. I want a perimeter.
51 said into her Nextel.
Move.
She glanced at me.
Sir, please stay in the car while they secure the area.
I nodded. 3 of the bodyguards were armed with AR-15, the civilian version of the M16, while the others carried shotguns. All wore their bulletproof vests over their uniform. A stab of guilt shot through me. If I let them wear their vests, would so many have died? Would Chastity? They fanned out and formed a circle. I pushed down the guilt and stared at the house. Mary was in there. I groaned. I was so close. I just wanted to run across the field and kick in the door and save my love. I climbed out of the car, unable to wait.
Sir?
51 shouted, hopping out of the car and rushing around to stop me.
Sir? You need to let us make it safe.
We won't. The door to the house banged open and an unarmed SWAT officer walked out, his arms held high. He marched straight towards me. The bodyguards all trained their weapons on him, but none opened fire. I could see the SWAT officer's aura, the black of a thrall, but surrounded by a band of gold, a corona of light around darkness. A nun controlled him.
Mark Glasner, I have a message for you.
He shouted.
You, and only you, are to enter the house unarmed.
If you enter armed or if anyone else enters, Sister Theodora shall kill your woman.
You have 5 minutes or Mary dies.
And then he turned and walked back to the house. I went to follow, but 51 grabbed my arm.
Master, don't. Never give a hostage taker another hostage.
She was quoting her training at me, but I didn't care. I couldn't risk Mary's life. If this Theodora wanted to talk, fine. She had a lot to answer for.
Let go.
51 obeyed. She had no choice.
Sir? Stay here.
I strode out across the field, almost catching up with the SWAT officer before I reached the house. I followed him in. The house looked abandoned and had a musty smell to it. He led me to a small living room. Mary sat gagged, her arms bound behind her back. Tears ran down her eyes and she struggled against her restraints. A sandy blonde woman, young like all the nuns and with piercing blue eyes, stood next to Mary. The bitch had a 9mm handgun pointed at my fiancé's head. Fear roiled inside me. I would need to be careful. I didn't want to provoke this woman, not with Mary's life at stake.
I am Mark Glasner, I said, holding my hands out to the side. Let's talk, Sister Theodora. There's no need for any more violence. I've been speaking with Mary, and she seems to think there's some good in you.
Sister Theodora answered. Her blue eyes were skeptical of the claim. I blinked, noticing her eyes were also red and puffy. Her track stained her cheeks. I furrowed my brow. Why had she been crying? I studied her face. There was something familiar about it. If she had red hair, the nun and Mary could have been sisters. Their faces had a similar, heart shape about them, and I spotted hints of Shannon's brow and Missy's ears. That did not matter right now. I had to concentrate on saving Mary.
We can come to an arrangement, Sister Theodora. No one else needs to get hurt.
Especially not my Mary.
Mary claims that you would give up your powers for her.
She cocked the hammer on the gun. The mechanical click made my skin crawl.
Well, let's put that to the test. You can walk out of here, Mark Glasner, and keep your powers. If you do, I kill Mary. Or you can let me exorcise you and then the both of you can walk out of here.
A smile played on her lips.
Let's see if you can really give up all that power for love.
I looked into Mary's green eyes. I saw the trust in her eyes, the love. Could I give up all my power for Mary? Memories of Mary floated through my mind, all the fun we've had. All the times I watched her sleep. The times I've gazed deeply into her green eyes. The feel of her as I held her in my arms.
Could I give up all my powers for that? Could I give up the thrill of making someone do what I wanted them to do? The pleasure of a woman submitting to my lusts. Was Mary worth giving all that up? Yes, she was.
Exorcise me, I said calmly.
The SWAT officer grabbed my arm and ratcheted a metal handcuff about my wrist, then he pivoted and slammed me into the hardwood floor. I coughed, the wind was knocked out of me. Stunned and struggling to breath, the SWAT officer easily dragged me over to a metal radiator, slid the handcuff around a thick pipe, and snapped the empty cuff about my other wrist. I didn't resist or pull at it. Sister Theodora stared at me, her eyes wide, her face paling with shock. She shook her head as she handed her gun to the SWAT officer. He holstered his weapon as the nun advanced on me.
I can't believe you would do this, she said, glancing back at Mary.
She bit her lip, and for a moment, she looked like the blonde version of my fiancé.
You must really love her. More than anything, I answered.
I took a deep breath.
Let's get this over with.
Of course, she answered and began pulling off her gray smock. I blinked. Why was she wearing a maid's outfit? It was the type of garment you'd see a maid wear at any hotel. Underneath, she was naked and quite lovely, full breasts with fat nipples, a trimmed, blonde bush between sleek thighs. My cock stirred. I didn't fight the lust. There was no point in fighting. Sister Theodora had won. She walked over to me and I looked away, finding Mary's eyes. I focused on her beautiful, emerald depths as the nun's hands fumbling with my pants. The fastener snapped, the zipper rasped, then they were pulled down my legs. A moment later, my boxers followed. A warm, soft hand stroked my cock until I was fully erect, then I was engulfed in a warm, wet pussy.
Yes.
Sister Theodora moaned softly. I didn't fight my own groan as she rode my cock, rolling her hips. She was skilled. All these supposedly holy nuns were so good at fucking. Karen knew how to work a dick like a pro. And Sister Theodora was Karen's equal. She rose up and down on me, faster and faster. She felt so amazing. My dick ached in her depths. She was so hot and silky. Fears bubbled through me. A part of me wanted to shout out.
Stop, I changed my mind.
I wouldn't. Not that it would matter. I made my choice to save Mary. I would go to jail. I would try to protect Mary as much as I could from the consequences of my actions, but there was no way I wasn't going away to prison for the rest of my life. But Mary would get to live, and that was worth it. Hell, maybe they would give me conjugal visits. The last 3 weeks of my life with Mary had been the best. I would never want to give them up. Even if it ended with life in prison, I would have no regrets. And my balls tightened. Theodora's gasps were growing louder and louder, her pussy hot and wet. She enjoyed my cock. Well, she might as well enjoy her work. I was getting so close, just a few more strokes and it would be over. I kept staring into Mary's green eyes. I saw the love in them. She was worth it. I groaned as my balls tightened and the pleasure surged through my body. My cum shot out of my dick and into Sister Theodora's tight, hot cunt. The nun's back arched, and she came with me, her pussy spasming on my dick. Her breasts heaved beneath her. She threw back her head and shouted a single word.
Zebade!
I gasped in amazement. Instead of my power being drawn out of me like I expected, I felt golden power flow into me from her pussy. The energy was warm and filled every fiber of my body. Every fiber of my soul. It was purity. Love. I trembled, my soul burning as the darkness of my power met the brightness of her gift. I bucked, my orgasm intensifying. Ecstasy flowed through me. I groaned as the bliss saturated my mind. Mary's eyes widened in amazement. And then I looked up at Theodora, her face flushed from her orgasm. Her aura was fading from the gold of a nun into the silver of a regular human. Theodora was no longer a nun.
What did you do to me?
I asked Theodora in confusion. Part 28. Chapter 1. When the burden of serving heaven grows too great, choose a worthy successor. With the prayer of Zebade you may pass on the gift of the Spirit, but pray to the angels and the Creator above that your choice is wise. Excerpt from the prayer book of the Order of Mary Magdalene. Wednesday, June 26, 2013. Mark Glasner Graham, Washington.
What did you do to me?
I asked Sister Theodora in confusion, my body tingling, the final spurts of my cum erupting into her pussy. Mary squirmed beside us, her mouth covered in silver duct tape. She struggled against the plastic ties binding her wrists behind her back. She struggled to tell me something with her green eyes. Her auburn hair flew about her head as she thrashed. I cast my gaze back to the nun.
Tell me.
I snarled at the nun.
I gave you my gift,
she answered, her silver aura flashed black for a moment as my powers affected her. They shouldn't have. Moments ago, her aura had been the gold of a nun, making her immune to a warlock's power. And then I came in her and she cast her prayer and, her aura went silver, the color of a normal person. Even now, the silver returned to her aura, driving back the black. My control over her wasn't permanent. My question was a simple one, a command she would have followed if I hadn't ordered her. Other commands, ones that changed how a person thought, would make their auras permanently black like the slut's auras. Or like every cop I had encountered. I made them permanent thralls by telling them that everything I did was legal, and it wasn't. Not even close. Those cops included the SWAT officers who raided our house and whom the nuns co-opted today to attack us.
What?
I asked in confusion. The nun gave me her power? What was going on? When I walked into the cabin to rescue my fiancé, Mary, I had found Sister Theodora Merriam, the nun who had already attacked me through my sister, holding a gun to my fiancé's head. Anger swelled in me.
First she used my sister, and then today she led a group of SWAT officers and a pair of other nuns to assault my home. She killed my followers, killed Chastity, and fled with Mary. I tracked them down with a spell and entered the house alone to save my soulmate. With a gun to Mary's head, I would do anything to protect her. Sister Theodora gave me an ultimatum. If I didn't submit to the nun's exorcism, give up my pact with the devil, and lose all my powers, she would kill Mary. The choice was simple. Mary.it meant I would go to prison. Everyone I put under my power, all the cops, all the people I fucked, all the people whose lives I changed, awakening them to sexual freedom, would revert to whom they normally were. I had robbed banks. I had committed terrorist acts. The FBI still investigated me. I would go to prison. But it would be worth it if Mary lived. So I submitted. Sister Theodora mounted me, fucking me. She had to bring me to orgasm to exorcise me. I didn't fight the pleasure of her pussy. What was the point? I stared at Mary as the pleasure swelled in me, the nun's cunt hot and wet and sweet. When I came in Sister Theodora, I expected her to exorcise me and steal my powers. Instead, she gave me something else, that a golden power. The power had sunk into the very fiber of my being, the very essence of my soul. It was at that moment her aura stopped being golden. Did that mean she wasn't a nun any longer? Well, my command worked on her. Was I a nun now? Or the male equivalent? A priest? Monk, I glanced at the last SWAT officer remaining. The rest were killed or captured by my bodyguards. He shook his head, frowning in confusion. Theodora's control over him was gone along with her powers, his aura black. He glanced at me, recognized me. The commands I gave him after the raid 2 weeks ago triggered him to act. Sir, do you need help?
Free me,
I demanded, my wrists cuffed over my head. And Theodora, go free Mary and then sit on the couch.
All right,
Theodora said and dismounted me while her aura went pure black, driving away the creeping silver. The SWAT officer uncuffed me and helped me to my feet. I rubbed at my wrists, working circulation back into my fingers. I felt so strong as I stood there, my mind reeling. Was I a nun now? What had Theodora done to me? Theodora bent down and ripped off the duct tape covering Mary's mouth. Damn. Mary winced, then moistened her lips as Theodora seized Mary's hands bound behind her back and pulled at the plastic cuffs zip tied around her wrists. I can't do anything about the zip ties, Theodora said in a panic as she realized she couldn't fulfill my command. Fine, just sit on the couch, I motioned to the SWAT officer.
You free Mary?
Sir? He nodded and walked over to Mary, pulled out a knife, then cut the plastic zip ties restraining her. Mary stared at me in astonishment, rubbing her wrists, and then she flew across the room, hugging me fiercely. I caught her, holding her against me. She shuddered, crying, her arms so tight about me, holding me with a desperate intensity.
You were shot,
she cried. She looked up at me, tears running down her face.
You were dying. How?
Lilith, I answered, remembering the dark void I had fallen into after I died in my discussion with Lilith. I made a deal with her. I was learning making deals with demons always came with hidden costs. What would my pact with the devil cost beside my soul? And Mary's? Why had he made them with us? Why had he given us the means to summon Lilith? No, those questions didn't matter right now. I had my fiancé back in my arms. I buried my face in her auburn hair, inhaling the flowery scent of her shampoo. I rocked her as she sobbed against me. Anger filled me. We both almost died today. Alice, Mary's friend and lover, shot me. I bet she was under the control of Theodora. My gaze found the nun, anger building inside of me. She attacked us. Killed Chastity and five of my bodyguards. A white-hot rage gripped me as I stared at the woman as she sat calmly on the couch. I looked at the SWAT officer.
Kill Sister Theodora Merriam.
He drew his 9mm sidearm. The very same handgun Theodora threatened my Mary with just minutes ago. Satisfaction filled me. Theodora glanced at the gun rising to point at her. Instead of fear, her face became calm, accepting. She closed her eyes, ready to face her punishment.
No!
Mary pushed away from me.
Put the gun away!
The SWAT officer froze as he struggled with conflicting commands. Mary and I were both warlocks, and we both had made pacts to get mind control powers. Mary received hers from Lilith. Mary feared what she would do if she ever possessed my mind control powers, so she didn't wish for them from the devil when she made her pact. But she had to surrender to the necessity of having them to save me from Sister Theodora's first attack, and used her final wish with Lilith.
What are you doing?
I demanded. Mary's auburn hair flew behind her as she slid between the man and Theodora, arms outstretched.
What was going on here?
Did Theodora do something to Mary when the bitch captured my fiancé? Did the nun place some sort of spell on Mary? The damned nuns were cunning. Theodora stared at Mary with blossoming hope.
What's going on, Mary?
I demanded, the only person my powers could not affect. My last order to Mary was for her to ignore my orders, freeing her from my powers.
She killed Chastity.
Theodora flinched and tears fell from her eyes.
Why did that make her cry?
I know, Mary said, her voice hoarse.
Chastity died trying to save me.
But, Mary's lip quivered.
But she's my mother, Mark.
Mary's words crashed into me. I stumbled back a step, struggling to understand how that was possible. I stared at Theodora and I saw it. When I first walked in, I thought the nun, with her blonde hair, looked familiar. Mother and daughter had the same heart-shaped faces, same cheekbones.
The golden thread,
I whispered in shock.
When we cast the spell to let us see auras, we discovered a golden thread touching Mary and her two sisters, Shannon and Missy. The threads represented a person's connection to another. My thread to Mary's was tightly wrapped about her, both of ours red, and bound by black chains, the manifestation of Mary's wish for us to always be together. We were soulmates. Which is the only reason Mary forgave me for what I did to her. I must know someone who is a nun, Mary had said when we discovered the thread last week.
How?
I asked, still struggling to think.
I thought your mom ran off with a musician. Abandoned you, your father, and sisters to fuck around with a rock band.
That musician was a warlock. Mary answered.
He did some bad stuff to my mom. Karen rescued her, and mom thought her relationship with dad was destroyed, so she became a nun.
I blinked, struggling to understand. Karen, formerly Sister Liesafra, was our sex slave. Was the first nun who tried to exorcise me a few weeks ago. But Lilith tainted Karen, breaking her connection to heaven. And then the demon fucked her with a hermaphroditic cock. My stomach twisted. What did Lilith want with the child growing inside Karen? No, now wasn't the time to think about that.
Focus. You said you gave me your gift, Theodora? So what, I'm a nun now?
Yes, she answered.
Well, I guess you'd be a monk, actually.
Mark, you changed when she said that word, Mary said.
Look in a mirror. You look 18.
Mary rubbed a hand along my bare chest. I didn't bother to put on a shirt when I came looking for her. Blood still stained me from the gunshots.
And your chest.
You're all muscly. Mary purred.
And your aura is bronze now. Not red. Or even gold.
Bronze? I asked.
Is that because I am a monk, Theodora?
Theodora frowned.
I don't know. The last monk died years ago. I honestly do not know much about them. And please call me Tiffany. I gave up my powers. I am no longer Sister Theodora Miriam.
I looked down at my chest and noticed defined pecs and a six-pack of abs. I felt different, too.
Stronger.
More alive. I broke away from Mary and found the bathroom. I stumbled in, my eyes widening in shock as I stared at my reflection. I looked like myself, sort of. I had lost a few years from my face. I was a little more boyish, and the fat along my jowls had vanished. I was lean now, in shape, with defined muscles. Not the bulging mass of a weightlifter, but the toned athleticism of a man in peak physical shape. I did a few poses, marveling at my physique.
You look so hot.
Mary cooed. I glanced back to see her licking her lips as she leaned against the bathroom door.
Yum. You were so cute before, Dalian soft, but now.
It was dramatic. I had been losing shape, getting healthier for Mary. I took up jogging, the weight swaying off of me. But this was even more dramatic. Laughing, I walked over to her and scooped her up in my arms. She was almost as light as a feather. She laughed, hooking one arm around my neck. I kissed her sweet lips, what a kiss. It was wonderful to hold her. She snuggled in my arms, her tongue flashing against mine. I had her back. We had one again. I didn't want to break the kiss, but questions still rattled around in my head. I carried her back to the living room and went to set her down, but her arm tightened around my neck in protest.
No. I like this.
I grinned at her.
Sure. I can carry you all day.
She squealed and gave me another kiss. Tiffany watched us. I froze, realizing she was my future mother-in-law. A mother-in-law who had my cum dripping out of her pussy and looked as young as her daughter, and hot.
Why did you do this, Tiffany?
I asked after breaking the kiss. I struggled not to laugh as Mary's ticklish fingers ran across my chest.
Give me your powers?
She bit her lip. Mary did that same thing when she was thinking.
I want my husband back,
Tiffany confessed. But I had to know what sort of man you were first.
To test you.
Mary said you were a good person deep inside. When you submitted to the exorcism and surrendered your power to save my daughter, I made my choice. You really love her. You have a good heart beating in your chest. It is a shame you made your pact. But maybe with my gift, it will help temper you and bring out the better person inside you. And would you have really shot your daughter?
I growled, my anger rising again. She shook her head.
No. I couldn't do that. I would have ordered Dennis. She glanced at the SWAT officer. To restrain you, and then I would exorcise you. Then her. I put the gun to her head to see what you would do. To understand what my daughter saw in you. She smiled. Deep inside, you're a good man. Try to remember that.
Anger still choked at me. I struggled to keep composed, but she had still put a gun to my fiancé's head.
And what am I supposed to do with you? Am I just supposed to forget what you did to Chastity? She's my mother, Mark.
Mary whispered.
And you hated her, Mary.
She flinched and I winced.
I hadn't meant to yell. Sorry, Mare. I didn't know the truth. She answered, tears brimming in her eyes. I thought she hated us. Me, Dad, my sisters. That she discarded us be because she didn't love us. Didn't need us. I didn't know that she was stolen from us. Brutalized.
Mary wiggled in my arms, and I sat her down.
She walked over to the couch and sat down next to her mother. The pair shared a fierce, loving hug.
I stared at Tiffany, struggling to hold on to my hatred, but the pain in Mary's voice, the joy on her face, made it hard.
I love you, Mom. I never really stopped loving you. I think that's why I was so angry with you. Why it hurt so much when you disappeared.
Mary looked up at me.
Let's go home, Mark.
Mary's eyes pleaded with me.
Fine.
I answered.
I would have to work on controlling my anger. I doubt I could ever forgive her mother. Mary broke her embrace with her mother and rushed to me. She kissed me, her hands roaming my body. That helped a lot to soften my anger. There wasn't anything I wouldn't do for her, no matter how hard.
Thank you, Mark. For coming for me.
Always. I stroked her face.
I love you.
I'm sorry. Tiffany said, clutching her hands together, fresh tears in her eyes. I thought I was doing the right thing when we attacked you. She gave a bitter laugh. It was all for the greater good.
It's fine.
I repeated, not wanting to think about it. I scooped Mary up into my arms again.
Let's go home.
Yes. Mary said, then giggled, a huge smile on her face that I walked out of the cabin and into the sunshine. I crossed the lawn. My bodyguards, led by 51, waited at their cars, AR-15 rifles aimed at the house. They relaxed when they saw us. Tiffany and the SWAT officer trailed behind us as Mary squirmed in my arms.
A girl could get used to this.
Mary laughed. Ebony-skinned 51 rushed forward, still holding her assault rifle, pointed down, a wary look on her faces.
Sir, ma'am.
It's okay. I told her as she gave Tiffany a look, then the professionalism vanished into relief. The other bodyguard's ID brought all who were fit for duty rushed forward, excitement and joy on their faces. They reached out, touching my muscular arms and Mary's legs.
You're safe.
I am. Mary beamed. And doesn't Mark look so sexy?
Yes.
51 purred. Better than my ex-husband. I blinked. I had ordered 51, and any other married members of the bodyguard, to divorce their husbands when I selected them to serve. A twinge of guilt shot through me. 5 had died defending us, and a few others were gravely wounded. They were only hurt because I made them dress in a scanty, Halloween parody of a police uniform: short skirts, half-unbuttoned blouse, tits almost hanging out, heels instead of proper shoes, and body armor. Something had to be done about that. Maybe a spell. I would have to talk to Sam, the slut who was translating the magics of the Witch of Ender for us. She had been smart, a PhD candidate in ancient languages when we claimed her during our trip to New York last week.
I'm glad everything is all right, sir.
51 said. She glanced at Tiffany. Should the prisoner be put under guard? She's not a prisoner. I said as I set Mary down by the police car. She's Mary's mother. She's coming home with us.
I see, sir.
I could feel 51's anger rippling off of her. She deserved her emotions. I didn't see the need to order her to forget. I couldn't blame her for her anger. Her fellow bodyguards were dead. I wanted to rip off the blonde woman's head. Mary may have forgiven her mother, but how could I ever forget that Chastity was dead?
Let's go home.
I said, opening the back seat of the cop car. Mary slid in. I followed. Tiffany took the passenger seat while 51 drove. It's been a long day. Allison Hurts, South Hill, Washington.
Do you think he saved her yet?
I asked, gripping the Nextel in my hand, listening for any chatter from the bodyguards that went with Master to save Mistress. He has to be safe, my subconscious whined. I'm his slave. I have to be with him. He has to come back. I nodded my head. I always trusted my subconscious. Well, almost always. Lately, my subconscious objected first to my feelings for, and then to my impending marriage with my fellow slut Desiree. But Master and Mistress approved of my love for the busted Latina. In every other way, I listened to my subconscious. It led me to a life, though I was only 18, of decadent sex which culminated in Mark Glasner. My Master. My subconscious had whispered I should give myself to him as he fucked me behind the counter of Goth Topic that wonderful day 3 weeks ago. That finally the man I had waited for to take me by the scruff of the neck had arrived, and it was time for me to submit. So I did and hadn't been sad once. Until today. Noelle knelt over Chastity's body, a cloth draped over it. Paramedics loaded other dead bodyguards into the back of ambulances to take them to the morgue and await for their funeral. They came for Chastity and Noelle collapsed into a ball, sobbing hard. The pair had been close. Like me and Desiree close. Desiree pressed behind me, her naked breasts on my back, her arms around me.
You're so worried. Master hasn't sent word. What if the nun killed him?
Tears fell down my cheeks.
Then let's call him and find out.
I turned around and looked at my lover. She was taller than me, her face beautiful, her skin a lovely shade of brown. I sniffed and smiled, her breasts pressing against my pierced nipples.
That would be great.
I loved her so much. She broke away to grab a cell phone.
You shouldn't love her.
Only devote yourself to Master. I ignored my subconscious as Desiree's fingers tapped her phone's screen. I trembled, hoping Master was still fine. Fearing he wasn't. Just as she was about to dial, a furious Fiona stormed up to the house.
That bitch.
She snarled. I gasped in shock as Fiona told us what happened at Good Sam Hospital. Chapter 2. Let all rejoice and sing praise. The miracle has revealed the living God's divinity to us all. They shine so bright with love. They have come to lead mankind into utopia, free from hatred. First Book of Vivian 15:1. Mary Sullivan Graham, Washington. The cop car pulled away from the cabin. It lay off the busier Meridian, hidden in the pine trees. This close to Mount Rainier hadn't been as heavily developed as South Hill. But the suburbs spread down Meridian, creeping farther and farther south as more houses and businesses were built. I snuggled up against Mark on the drive back, loving how solid he felt now. I always found him cute, loving him despite him being a little overweight, but now he was muscled like a Greek god. My pussy was so wet.
I smiled as his hand stroked my hair.
What did you have to give Lilith to save your life?
I asked, curious how that demon bitch was back in our lives. After I made my final wish to her, gaining the power of mind control, I thought she was done with us, sent back to hell. I was glad to see her gone, and nervous she was still around.
Karen, Mark answered. Until her child is born. Of course.
I groaned in instant understanding. Lilith had fucked Karen and implanted a child in her womb which grew so fast. In a few weeks, barely a month after Lilith impregnated her, Karen would give birth. But Karen was tied to Mark with the Zima bond. It was a powerful spell. Our sluts couldn't be used by nuns the way the SWAT officers had. It bound their life forces to us. If Mark died, so would any bound to him. Which included all of my family. Mark's family was bound to me. And since I wished to live as long as Mark did.
Makes sense. Karen would have died with you.
I said. I didn't want to think about such depressing thoughts. Worrying about Lilith, and what she wanted with that child could wait. I stroked Mark's stomach, savoring the rippling of his abs. He was so sexy. My pussy grew wetter.
I've always had a weakness for a muscular chest.
Mark's cock tented his pants. I turned in my seat, pressing against him, my lips nuzzling into his neck. I kissed him as my hand slid down and found his cock tenting his jeans. I squeezed him, savoring his girth, my pussy clenching in anticipation of his cock. Mark groaned. His cock throbbed. I gave him another squeeze and nibbled at his neck. My tits, separated by my sundress, rubbed into his muscular arm. Every part of him was so strong now. So hunky and wonderful.
What were we doing when we were interrupted?
Mark asked me with a smile.
This.
I purred and raised my hand from his cock. I seized the back of his head and pulled him down for a kiss. I groaned as his lips met mine. He kissed me hard, passionate. His hand slipped between me and the seat, grasping my hip. I moaned into the kiss, our tongues meeting, my heart speeding up as my pussy grew juicier. Wet for him. We both almost died today. And now we were alive. I yearned for him, to feel him in me, his hard cock thrusting, his cum spurting. I moaned into the kiss as his fingers tightened on my hip. His other hand seized me and he pulled me onto his lap. I squirmed on him, grinding against his bulge. My hands rubbed at his muscular chest as our lips kept kissing. We never broke contact. My nipples tingled as his hands ran up and down my sides, pulling the fabric against them. Then they moved up and cupped my breasts. His thumbs rubbed across my nipples. Delicious, electric pleasure shot down to my pussy. My clit throbbed against his bulge. I moaned into the kiss and returned the favor, my thumbs rubbing at his small, hard nipples. I kissed him harder. Every time he brushed my nipples, he sent another rush of tingling bliss through me, making me hotter. I had to fuck him. I ground harder against him, savoring the feel of him. I pinched and rolled his nipples as our tongues dueled. His hands squeezed and kneaded my breasts. My pussy rubbed on his rough jeans. No panty separated my cunt from being fucked, but his jeans were in the way. Mark must have read my mind, because he broke the kiss and gasped.
I need to be in you, Mare. You're making me so hard.
I ground on him and purred.
I can feel just how much you need me.
So hard.
You're just aching to be in my cunt.
I didn't care that my mother was in the front seat. I had fucked my father and both my sisters. It was only a matter of time before Mom joined me in bed. And maybe Mark would be with us. If he could forgive her for what she did today, but that was later. Right now, I had to fuck my fiancé. I reached under us and unzipped his jeans with deft fingers. I popped his fastener and shoved inside. I found his cock, hard and throbbing and warm. I stroked him as I kissed Mark again. He groaned into me as I brushed the crown of his dick, smearing pre-cum into it.my pussy clenched. I needed that cock in me right now. No more playing around. We were both alive, heaven had failed to stop us, and it was time to celebrate with the hot, passionate press of flesh. With shuddering orgasm and spurting juices. Sex. The best way to celebrate our victory. I fished out his cock. His dick was hot in my fingers. I rose on him and guided his dick upwards. It brushed my thigh. I swiveled my hips, the tip brushing across my fold. Mark groaned into our kiss as I swabbed his dick through my wet folds.
Fuck, Mare.
He groaned, breaking the kiss.
That's nice. It's about to get nicer.
I promised, my voice husky. I brought his dick to the entrance of my pussy, and slammed down on him. Mark groaned, his hands tightening on my tits, as I sank down on his girth. He filled me up, stretching my pussy wide. My eyes fluttered as the pleasure rippled through me. I wrapped my arms about his neck, squirming, savoring him being in me. My stallion was in my cunt. Just where he belonged.
I'm back inside my filly.
He moaned, arms slipping around me and grasping my ass.
Yes.
I hissed.
I love riding my stallion.
We kissed again, my lips hungry for him. I pumped up and down on his cock, hard and fast, wild for the heat and passion. Pleasure rippled through my body from the friction building up between us. Hot, wet, delicious friction that shuddered through me. My juices sloshed around his cock. I loved the noises we made as I fucked my stallion.
Mary.
My mom gasped in the front seat, finally noticing.
What are you doing?
I broke the kiss, leaning back, my breasts jiggling beneath my sundress as I rode my fiancé hard.
Fucking my fiancé, Mom. We were trying to have makeup sex when everything happened.
I glanced over my shoulder at her, my hips pumping away, sliding my cunt up and down Mark's wonderful cock. It was so hot to do this as Mom watched on, her blue eyes wide in shock.
Mom, you'll need to get used to this. We're a very affectionate family now.
Mom blushed as prettily as Missy, my youngest sister, did.
What does that mean?
I've slept with Dad. And with Missy and Shannon. I answered as I continued sliding my wet cunt up and down on my stallion's cock.
And with Mark's mother and sister.
Tiffany gaped at me, her eyes bugging out.
Holy fudge, Mary. You've been, with your dad? And your sisters?
Yes. I moaned, my pussy contracting about Mark's cock. For a moment, I remembered the thrill of riding Dad's cock, his eyes blindfolded. He had no idea his daughter was fucking him. It was the final line I hadn't wanted to cross as Mark led me into more and more depraved sex. The most taboo. And I had come so hard when he came in me, unloading the same seed which had conceived me in Mom's womb.
If you want to be with Dad, there's a few ground rules we need to cover, Mom.
I kept looking at her as she peered back at us from the front seat. My hips swiveled, my ass clenching as I slid up Mark's cock. The pleasure built in my core, Tiffany sighed.
Of course. You two are warlocks. I know that there will be things that I will find unappealing. Just let me be with Sean.
Her eyes were so wide, so pleading. She loved Dad so much, and he still loved her despite all the pain. Pain that wasn't my mom's fault.
That's between you and Dad?
I answered. I hoped he would take her back.
First, incest is not wrong. Second, it's okay to have a sex slave.
I gave Dad a nubile, naughty schoolgirl named Felicity.
Third, you need to let Mark perform the Zimmer ritual on you. And finally, you have to let me and Mark protect you. You can ignore anything else I tell you to do.
I watched Mom's aura transform from silver to black. She shuddered, new ideas bursting in her head. I felt her eyes glance down at my naked ass cupped in Mark's hands. Speculation entered her eyes. Nuns were all sluts. And Karen had talked about Theodora being her lover. Then I turned to Mark. I stopped riding him. He groaned, giving me a pleading look, his face twisted with bliss.
What, Mare?
I raised an eyebrow. He sighed.
Fine. Tiffany, you can ignore my commands if you want to.
Okay, Mark. I beamed at Mark and pumped my pussy on his cock. He groaned, pleasure spreading across his face. I smiled at him, my hips swiveling, undulating, moving faster and faster, guided by his hands, my clit arching.
Oh, Mom, I love his cock.
I moaned, glancing at her again. Lust burned in her eyes. A smile was on her lips now as she stared at my naked ass. Mark squeezed my butt cheeks then pulled them apart as he slammed me down on his cock. My pussy clenched about his girth, my excitement growing. I loved having Mom's eyes on me. I couldn't wait for the first time that we made love.
You've grown up into a very beautiful woman.
Mom purred, not hiding the lust.
I can see why you became a nun.
Mary laughed.
You look as young as me. Shannon's not going to be happy. You two could be sisters, not mother and daughter.
Mark groaned.
Come on, Mare, ride me. I want to come in you so badly.
I laughed.
He's such a horn dog. He can't act properly unless he comes at least once an hour. I swear those sluts of ours work overtime to keep him happy. You're sex slaves.
I could see it in her eyes. Mom was readjusting to her new outlook.
Kinky. I've seen a few of them on the news. They're all beautiful. Mark picked most of them.
I gasped.
And you can tell what he's interested in. Look at 51 there. Hot women.
The bodyguard agreed, her voice a purring moan.
Are you going to come in her, sir?
Yes. Mark groaned, his face twisting with passion.
Damn, your cunt is so tight, Mare. Oh, you say the sweetest things.
I kissed Mark again while his fingers moved from my ass. He pushed down the straps of my sundress. I wiggled my arms to slip them out. The dress fell down past my breasts. My nipples rubbed on Mark's muscular chest as I kissed him hard.
Oh, wow.
Mom moaned.
That's getting my pussy wet.
I broke the kiss with Mark and turned around.
Then rub one out, Mom.
Masturbate that cunt.
You're all full of Mark's cum any dash.
I squealed in delight. When I turned to talk to my mom, the motion moved my right nipple to Mark's waiting lips. He didn't hesitate. He sucked my dusky nipple into his hungry mouth. The sudden sensation shocked me out of my train of thought. I ground on him, rubbing my clit on his pubic bone as he nibbled and teased. What a wonderful fiancé. His hands went back to my ass, kneading me as his tongue circled my hard nub between sucks and moans. He guided my hips as I rode him, gasping in pleasure. Up front, I heard Mom sigh and the unmistakable, wet sound of fingers sliding into hot cunt.
Oh yes, finger your twat, Mom.
I moaned.
Pump those fingers in and out of your cunt. MMM, that's the sort of family we have now. We love each other. No reservations.
None. Agreed 51.
It sounds so wicked.
Panted Mom.
So wicked.
I agreed. My orgasm built inside of me. My pussy savored every inch of his cock sliding in and out of my cunt. This was so hot. I had my stallion back. My mom wasn't a whore. She was joining us, frigging herself hard in the front seat, and Mark was in me. He was in my pussy. I threw back my head, my orgasm swelling through me. My fingers dug into his shoulders. His mouth sucked so hard on my nipple. I gasped, sliding my cunt faster and faster on his cock. My clit slammed into his pubic bone. I came hard.
Oh fuck, I love your cock inside me, Mark. I gasped as ecstasy burst in my hot depths. My flesh spasmed about his dick as the rapture flooded through my mind.
MMM, my Randy Stallion.
I bounced faster and faster on Mark, compelled by the rapture consuming my body.
My pussy spasmed about his wonderful cock. His hips thrust up from the seat. I gasped, my clit slapping hard into his groin every time I bottomed out. A second orgasm shot through me. He groaned about my nipple, my pussy massaging his dick, keeping him in wonderful bliss. He released my nipple, his fingers digging into my ass, as he grunted his pleasure.
Are you coming? My mom asked.
Yes.
I hissed.
I'm coming on my fiancé's big dick. It's wonderful, mom.
Shoot.
She groaned.
Oh gosh, yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
My mom came and shuddered. She didn't swear at all. It was so weird, such a mom thing to do.
I loved it. I loved the passion in her voice. I shuddered on Mark's cock, fucking him harder, inspired by my mom's moans. I stared into my fiancé's blue eyes, such gorgeous eyes, and groaned, the pleasure boiling out of my cunt and through my body.
Gonna come, Mare.
He grunted.
Oh, are you going to fill your naughty filly's cunt with your cum?
I moaned. I pumped my hips wildly on his cock, eager for the hot flood.
Come in me.
Come.
Come.
My chants grew louder and louder, urging him to flood my pussy. I slammed down hard on him, my cunt rippling on his cock as I came over and over. My sheath milked his cock, begging for his cum. As soon as I had my next period, I was off the pill. I wanted his child.
Mare.
He groaned and then he erupted. I slammed down on him, the pleasure roaring through me. I felt each powerful blast splash against my cervix. I knew he was fertile. He had already knocked up Corina, and I expected other sluts would find he left them in a family way. I shuddered on him, listening to his primal groans. My pleasure peaked. I slumped forward and rested my chin on his shoulder. His arms were around me. He held me and emotion surged through me in the wake of the bliss. The memory of him lying on the ground. I trembled, clinging to him, tears burning my eyes. The words spilled out of me.
Don't ever scare me like that again. I don't ever want to see you hurt and dying. You hear me, Mark Glasner?
Mark Glasner. Tears fell down Mary's cheeks. Her green eyes swam with emotions as she clung to me, trembling. I reached up, wiped away a tear, her skin so warm beneath my finger. And then I lied to her.
I won't, Mare. Never again.
I had to lie to her. I couldn't control the future, and Mary knew that. She smiled, pretending to believe me. It was what she needed to hear right now. She had witnessed her friend and lover, Alice, shoot me today. She had knelt over my dying body as my blood poured out of me. I couldn't imagine what that must be like. So I would say whatever she needed to hear. Mary snuggled up to me.
Good. I love you, Mare.
I kissed her on the forehead. She sighed, breathing slowing. I held her as the bliss of my orgasm bled out of me. I am starting to see what you like about him, Mary. Tiffany said, her face flushed from her orgasm.
So, how are Shannon and Melissa?
We call her Missy nowadays. Mary smiled. And she's grown into a beautiful and very annoying 18-year-old. I'm not sad we don't share a bedroom any longer.
Oh, and she has a boyfriend named Damien, and they are so cute together.
Well, Missy would be cute with anything. And Damien tried so hard to please her. I showed him a few things and we fucked Missy together. It had been so hot for the slim, excitable girl to come on my cock. Tiffany blinked back tears. When I last saw her, she was so little. She stumbled around the house looking so cute.
Tiffany sniffed.
And what about Shannon?
She's engaged.
Mary answered. George is all right. A bit of a pansy, but she likes that about him.
How sweet.
Tiffany swallowed.
And your dad?
He's good. He still has that ridiculous ponytail. Mary paused, squirming on my lap. I also gave him a sex slave.
You'll like her.
Although Dad loves her to dress up like a naughty schoolgirl. I think all those years of teaching community college and seeing all those barely legal schoolgirls may have corrupted him.
A sex slave?
I guess I'll have to get used to that.
Tiffany smiled.
Well, it does sound exciting. Oh, she'll be yours as well if you and Dad get back together. Felicity is a little firecracker. I took her virginity with a strap-on as part of a spell.
Mark, that was a hot night.
Yes, it was. I smiled, remembering heading to Rogers Community College, finding April and Felicity, and bringing home the two virgins. We deflowered them both to protect us against STDs. The Zima spell passed that protection onto those bound to us. Mary giggled, remembering that night. But her glee didn't last long. Mary looked at me, a frown replacing her mirth.
Mark, I think we need to talk later.
I opened my mouth to ask why, when my phone rang. I fished my phone out of my pocket. The caller ID said it was the Desiree.
Hello?
Me Ray. Purred my Latina slut.
Have you saved Mirena yet?
Yeah. She's sitting on my cock with a pussy full of cum right now.
That's so amazing.
Desiree cheered and in the background I could hear the excited shouts of all the sluts, especially Allison.
Me Ray.
Desiree started saying then paused. I could hear the hesitation in her voice.
What, Desiree?
I asked. Fear constricted my heart. Did she die? Last I saw, she was on her way to the hospital with a bullet in her guts. Another victim of Tiffany's attack. I struggled to control my anger. She was Mary's mom. I had to tolerate her. For Mary's sake.
Fiona's back from watching Karen.
She said that Puta, Lilith, appeared and took Karen.
I know.
I answered, sighing in relief that no one else had died. Then guilt squirmed in me. It was part of the deal I made with Lilith that she took Karen.
But the demon promised to return Karen unharmed once she had her child. Don't worry about it. This was expected news. Something I had to do.
Okay, Mireille.
Desiree answered in relief.
We all are eagerly awaiting your return.
Well, except Noelle. She's very heartbroken about Chastity.
Yeah.
I said, my heart growing somber. The excitement of saving Mary faded as we neared home. Chastity and six of the bodyguard dead, Shio and other women injured. All trying to protect me and Mare. They were happy to protect us, because I ordered them to. Did that make me responsible for their deaths? At least partly. Tiffany and her nuns had attacked us, but I'd put those women in a position to be hurt out of my selfish lusts. I leaned back on the seat, holding Mary, and watched out the window as we came closer and closer to home. Point 51 had taken the back streets home, avoiding much of Meridian's terrible traffic. We drove on Shaw Road, passing the light at 39th Avenue. I peered ahead. I could see our street, Mountain View Court. I wasn't surprised to see the line of news vans parked on the shoulder. Here we go. I said, not in the mood to deal with the media. The Puyallup police had corralled the media onto either side of the street, forming a line of blue uniformed bodies. Chastity had been a Puyallup police officer. She had pulled me over for speeding. I found her Nordic beauty captivating. So I made her mine. Cameras flashed and the media pressed in on our car. But the Puyallup cops pushed them back and let us through. Their shouts faded as we took the curve and stared down the street. It looked different than when I left. Most of the emergency vehicles were gone. The few neighbors we let stay in their houses were out, inspecting the damage and cleaning up the mess. Evidence of the fighting was everywhere, shot up cop cars parked on the street, bullet holes in the siding of houses, shattered windows, stains of blood. The nuns brought a war to kill us. Tiffany squirmed in the front seat, as silent as we were. Mary clung to me as we drove down the road. Devastation. I glared at the back of Tiffany's head. Her two fellow nuns were dead. She was lucky Mary loved her. Point 51 pulled her squad car before our house. I had confiscated it from Brandon Fitzsimmons, along with his wife No, she was his ex-wife now Desiree. Mary slid off of me, her pussy popping off my cock. I buttoned up as I stared at everyone, the slut squealed.
Master!
And
Mistress!
Their enthusiasm washing over us. Everyone was waiting for us out front. All our sluts were there, save Karen and Shio. And Chastity. Noelle's face puffy from crying, held in the embrace of April and Violet. Allison and Desiree clutched each other, the Latina's brown tits pressed into Allison's pale flesh. Karina stood apart while the Mina and Fiona held hands. Sam held a clutch of papers in her hand, probably her translation of the magics of the Witch of Ender, while Lillian stood beside her, our goth slut trembling in ecstatic joy. And it wasn't just our sluts waiting for us. Our families as well. My mom had her arm wrapped about her half-black girlfriend, Betty, while their sex slave, Joy, stood near them, head bowed. Ansie, my little sister, held her sex slave, Via's hand. To the right stood Mary's family, Sean with his schoolgirl sex slave Felicity, who looked very fetching in her tartan skirt and knee-high socks. Shannon and her fiancé George with Starla, their sex slave and George's secretary. Missy bounced in joy beside her boyfriend Damien, their slaves Don and Mrs. Corin kneeling before them. From the front seat, Tiffany gasped, tears forming in her eyes as she gazed at her family and their sex slaves.
Wait in the car, Mom,
Mary said.
Let me talk to them. Smooth things out.
Okay, Tiffany said, her voice breaking with emotion. I stepped out of the car into the warm, June day. The wounded were gone. And the dead. But crimson still stained the lawn where I lay shot and the sidewalk where Chastity fell. I turned and held out my hand. Mary took it, her grip strong, and I helped her step out.
Mistress!
The slut screamed and then, as one, they rushed forward. Mary and I held out our arms and were swarmed by the passionate women. Most were naked or dressed slutty. They clung to us, kissing us, touching us. I couldn't make out who said what, the sluts all talking over each other, emotion shining on their faces. I kissed each one, and so did Mary, savoring having them back, and then twisting with guilt at the ones who weren't here. Karen given to Lilith, Shio shot in the stomach, and Chastity.
Mark!
My mom shouted, her head craning, tears pouring down her cheeks.
Okay, sluts.
I smiled.
We need to see our families, too?
Yes, master. They chorused, obeying like they always did, and broke away from me and Mary. I headed to my mom and sister. They were both emotional, though Ansie tried not to show it, quickly brushing away tears. Mom and my sister broke away from their sex slaves and Betty. I opened my arms wide and pulled them both to me. Mom's arms hugged with a desperate love.
You're safe.
She sighed.
I am Mom.
Then I kissed her on the lips. That it wasn't a familial kiss. I put passion into it. I loved my mom. My hand slid down, squeezing her ass through her dress, pulling her tight. I did the same to Ansie. Her ass was firmer with youth. I broke the kiss with Mom and planted my lips on my baby sister. She moaned, eyes fluttering, fresh tears falling.
Damn.
Ansie panted when I broke the kiss. Her hand ran up and down my chest.
Big bro, you are ripped. What happened to you?
Everyone said you were shot and then got better. Via and I spent the entire shootout hiding in the basement.
We were too scared to come out until after you left.
And why are you like a muscled hunk now?
Was it a miracle?
My mom asked, her eyes wide. Everyone said a miracle happened. No. A demon brought me back to life. But I didn't want to admit that. I glanced at Mary, hugging her father and two sisters, and mumbled.
Sure, Mom.
It was a miracle. It's all over social media,
Ansi said, her hand rubbing my stomach.
Wow, a six-pack. Damn, big bro, you are even sexier.
I nodded and listened as Mary broke the kiss with her father. Her face twisted as she stared at her father.
Dad, there's something I need to tell you.
She bit her lip, trembling.
I dash, who is that in the car?
Sean asked, frowning. Ansi eyebrows furrowed as she peered past me.
I know her.
Then she hissed and broke away from me.
Theodora! That fucking bitch!
I caught her arm before she took two steps, hauling her back. My sister spun, her hair flying, her face wild with anger.
Let me go, Mark! That's the nun who put the fucking spell on me.
I pulled my baby sister back to me. Part of me wanted to let her claw Tiffany's eyes out.
It's okay.
I lied to my sister.
She's not a threat any longer.
That's what I want to talk to you about, Dad. Mary said, taking his hand. But Sean ignored her and walked around his daughter, staring at the car, his eyes wide and his face paling. The sun shone on his bright red hair, contrasting against his skin.
Chapter 3.
And the living God strode into the nun's den and smote the evil woman down. Sister Theodora Miriam fell beneath his wrath, utterly destroyed because of her iniquity. Then the living God claimed his goddess, awakening her to her true powers. Their light shone bright while the entire world trembled in awe. The miracle was seen by all, calling the first disciples to serve. The Gospel of April 31:1-3. Tiffany Sullivan. I trembled in the car, my stomach twisting, as I watched my daughter's reunion with our family. It was sexy the way she kissed first little Melissa. No, she was called Missy now and then Shannon, their lips writhing in a most unsisterly kiss. And then she kissed Sean, my ex-husband, the love of my life. His arms wrapped about our daughter, holding her tight, kissing her with the passion he once kissed me. Fear clutched at me. Had Sean moved on? Did he need me when he had Shannon, Mary, and Melissa? Our three daughters all had parts of me in their faces. They didn't have my blonde hair coloring, though Melissa came closest with her strawberry blonde curls. But they had my beauty. What if he hated me? How could he not after what that bastard Kurt made me write? Seeing Sean made the pain so fresh. I could hear myself saying those filthy words as Kurt fucked my pussy in his garage, Sean watching in shock, then horror, then despair. I could see that same shock on his face. He was older, matured, touches of gray in his red hair. He still had that ridiculous ponytail, trying to look like the hip teacher. His face was weathered. He was a little stouter. But he was my Sean, and he would hate me.
Ansi screamed her vehemence. I hardly noticed. The girl had every right to be mad after what I did to her in Miami. I set up a threesome, got her drunk and horny, and then seduced her. I turned her into a trap for Mark. When he slept with her, the pair became obsessed with each other. I hoped to break apart Mark from his warlock girlfriend, but my Mary had been too strong, too determined, to let go of the man she loved. Why wasn't I that determined? Why didn't I try to reconnect with Sean after Sister Louise Afra freed me? Fear. I was so afraid. Like I was now. I couldn't bear knowing how much he hated me. He was the only man I ever loved. When we met in college, I knew he was the man I would marry. Even in the rockiest part of our marriage, I never thought it would end. Not even during our bitterest fights did I want to leave him. I only wanted to love him. He stumbled around Mary, staring at me as he walked to the car like a zombie. I took a deep breath. I couldn't hide in the car. I had to slip out and meet him. I had to face him. I gave up on being a nun, on serving heaven and the angels, and on fighting the adversary to have Sean back. I couldn't hide in the car like a scared girl now. The door creaked so loudly as I opened it. I stepped out, legs wobbly. I took a deep breath, shaking, and faced my husband. This was it. The moment I learned how much he hated me. Damn Kurt.
Tiffany?
He asked, stunned. Of course he was stunned. I looked younger than when we last met. When I became a nun, it aged me back to 18 and gave me a perfect body, like it did to Mark when I gave him my gift. I didn't look my natural age of 44. I looked how I did when I met Sean. My lower lip quivered. I took a deep breath.
It's me, Sean. I dash.
Sean fell to his knees before me. I gaped in shock at my husband. He stared up at me, his green eyes filling with tears. Then he grasped the gray smock of my maid's outfit, clutching hard, and buried his face into my stomach.
I'm so sorry, Tiff. He sobbed. For whatever I did to drive you away. Please, forgive me. I never meant to hurt you.
My heart broke. Tears welled in my eyes. All the pain whimpered out of me.
No, Sean, no. It wasn't you.
I knelt down, lifting his face. I stared into his eyes, the world swimming with tears.
You didn't do anything, Sean. You were the best husband a woman could want. Then why, Tiff? Why did you leave me?
Because Kurt Bronson made me. The hurt spiked through me. He had to understand.
Kurt had powers. Like Mark and Mary. He made me lust for him, made me write those letters, and made me, throw away my wedding ring. T.H. the ring Eugene gave me.
He let out a groan before crushing me to his chest. I wrapped my arms around him, holding him, my head on his shoulder, tears flowing. My husband still loved me. Somehow, his love for me endured all the pain Kurt made me put him through.
Tell me this isn't a dream?
He croaked.
I'm real, Sean.
A shudder ran through me.
Can you forgive me? If Kurt was like Mark, it wasn't you.
I shook my head. No.
When I was freed from Kurt's powers, I was too scared to find you.
I thought you would hate me.
I didn't have faith in your love for me. Can you forgive me for being so fickle?
That doesn't matter, Sean whispered.
Every day I felt empty without you. Like the best part of me was missing.
I nodded my head. I had filled that void with sex while on my missions, trying to forget my family, but I couldn't.
Not my Sean. I clutched him harder, rocking in his arms, my head on his shoulder. Tears poured down my cheeks as I smiled and cried, and I saw my daughters, Shannon and Melissa. They stood side by side, Shannon taller, Melissa skinnier. They both had their arms folded before them, disbelief on their faces. Then anger twisted across Shannon's face along with the loathing I expected from Sean. I had abandoned my daughters as much as my husband. Mary moved up and whispered into Melissa's ear. My youngest was only a toddler when I last saw her. I had missed her entire life. She walked forward, almost in a daze towards me and Sean, then she knelt, facing me.
Are you really my mommy?
Melissa asked in the littlest girl's voice, emotion bubbling in her eyes.
Yes.
I sobbed. I reached forward and pulled my youngest daughter into the embrace I shared with Sean.
My little Melissa's grown up into a beautiful, young woman.
She flushed.
No one calls me Melissa. It's Missy. Sorry, I forgot.
Missy. I smiled, stroking my youngest daughter's face.
I like that. It fits you.
Shannon stalked up, arms still folded.
You're back, huh?
I broke away from my husband and youngest to stand. I faced my eldest daughter, her fiery hair framing the rage burning in her face. I took a deep breath.
I'm sorry, Shannon.
Shannon slapped me hard. My head snapped to the side. My cheek burned. Before I could say anything, she stalked down the sidewalk, brisk steps, hurrying away. I held my hand to my cheek. It didn't sting as much as her walking away. I understood. She must have had to take my place as the woman of the house, helping Sean to care for Missy and Mary. I wasn't there to watch her grow up into a young woman. Why had I been so afraid? I could have repaired the damage. I could have raised my daughters instead of missing their lives. Mary might not be a warlock, her soul condemned to hell, if I had returned. Then Nancy appeared before me. I flushed, remembering the motel room in Miami, Florida and the man we shared together.
Hi, Aunt Dash, bitch.
She snarled.
What did I ever do to you? I was nice to you. I let you stay in my motel room. And you tried to destroy my life. You made me and my brother obsessed with each other. We fucked and fucked and fucked.
I flinched at her words.
I was wrong.
Please, Ansi, I am so sorry for deceiving you. Ansi's slap landed on my other cheek, snapping my head around. I stumbled a step. Ansi put more force into hers. She screeched, eyes blazing. And then Sean was between us, standing up to Mark's sister.
That's my wife.
He growled. Ansi sniffed and stormed off. She snagged a young woman with black hair streaked with red and pulled her along. I blinked in surprise. Did Ansi have a girlfriend? She was straight in Florida. I had to get her drunk and in a threesome to have sex with her to cast the spell. Then a woman who looked like an older version of Ansi, though her hair was closer to Mark's in color, walked up to me.
Hi, I'm Sandy.
She warmly greeted.
Mark's my son, so I guess we'll be family soon.
I guess so. I answered, suffering from emotional whiplash, both my cheeks stinging. Mark's mom then hugged me and kissed me hard on the lips. I was shocked but then remembered how Mary had greeted my husband and daughters. I relaxed into the kiss, working my lips, enjoying the feel of Mark's mother. I was a little out of breath when I broke the kiss.
I guess that's how friendly the family is now.
Sandy gave me a welcoming smile.
Yes, very friendly. We had a lovely barbecue on Monday. The whole family, and all the sex slaves, enjoying each other. Right out in the open at Spark Stadium. It was so kinky. My son and your daughter have really corrupted us.
I snorted a laugh.
You have no idea.
Sean put his arm around my shoulders.
Come on. I think we need to talk in private.
My cheeks warmed.
I'd like that, Sean. Shannon will come around,
he said.
She tried to take your place. She had to grow up too fast. I wasn't much help, I'm afraid.
Sean led me down the street. From what I learned before the attack, I knew Mark had taken over the block, turning it into a fortress to protect him and his sluts.
And their family?
Sean led me to a house.
I guess everything has changed. Only recently,
Sean said. He frowned at the bullet hole.
You didn't know we were here? I had no idea our Mary was the Warlock Mary. It's such a common name. It was only when I went to.
I couldn't say the word Kildash.
That I recognized her. I was fighting for heaven. And now?
I bit my lip as Sean opened the door. Inside looked surprisingly familiar, or at least the furniture did. The same couch, older, the color faded, sat in the living room, along with many of the small knickknacks I had filled our house with.
And now I gave up fighting for heaven to be with you, Sean. And our daughters. I'm not a nun any longer. Mark has my gift to use it for good or ill. He's a good man, for someone who made a pact with the devil. He makes Mary so happy.
I smiled.
I saw that. He surrendered himself to save her. He would have given it all up just to keep her alive. I've never seen such altruism in a warlock before. Maybe the devil picked the wrong guy. Mark loves too much. He even loves those sex slaves of his.
The sluts. I grimaced.
That's so degrading. And I saw that little strumpet you have.
Felicity, he said, his voice flat.
Yes, Mary gave her to me.
And you've always had a thing for the younger girls, right? I smiled. I noticed how you would stare at those 18-year-old students of yours. Want me to dress up like one? He grinned. You do look like one.
So young. Just like you did when we met. Perks of being a nun.
I shrugged, and then he kissed me. I closed my eyes, my arms going back around his neck. My husband's lips felt the same. His arms, his body, his scent. I breathed in so deeply as he held my body tight to his. I trembled in his arms, savoring it. I had my husband back. The kiss deepened, turning from love to passion. All those years apart, the longing, boiled through me and into our kiss. His hands tightened on the small of my back, pulling me close. His cock swelled, tenting the front of his slacks. I wiggled my hips, grinding against the bulge as his hands slid down and gripped my ass, and squeezed.
Damn. He groaned, breaking the kiss.
Firm and tight as Felicity's ass? Or maybe Missy's?
He froze.
Relax, honey. Mary explained it to me. I laughed. Or I should say, she used her powers and changed my personality to accept both incest and sex slaves. So I don't mind. I didn't have a choice, and that didn't bother me. Mary's power caused me to accept it, so I did.
It's beautiful. Wonderful. I'm sure we'll make love to Missy and Mary together.
A family. Wicked family. I moaned and kissed him again. Oh, I loved kissing him. My pussy clenched in my panties as he backed me towards the couch. I felt actually 18 again, the age I was when I met Sean. I remembered how we would kiss for hours and hours on the couch in the lounge of his dorm while waiting for his roommate to finish studying so we could have privacy to make love. We didn't have to wait now. The back of the couch bumped my legs. I fell back down on it, feeling the rough fabric. I always hated this couch. I groaned. But it feels wonderful to be on it. Sean blinked in surprise.
You picked it out. And regretted it.
I laughed. But I didn't want to admit it. Sean smiled and knelt, his hands pushing up the gray smock.
A maid?
Well, you want to play dress up. Maids are hot. But not this outfit. You should see the maid outfits Mark has his sluts wear. I laughed, squirming, my pussy on fire.
I bet.
He reached beneath me my skirt, sliding up to my pussy. My eyes wide and I wasn't wearing panties.
Wait, I'm all dirty down there.
Mark came in me. I had to fuck him for the spell. To give him my gift. You can't go down on me when another man's staining me.
Well, I can finger you.
He said and shoved two into my pussy.
Oh, yes, you can do that.
I moaned, my hips arching as my flesh clenched down on his intruding fingers, savoring how they felt inside of me.
I don't have a problem with that.
He worked his fingers in and out of my cunt, his thumb brushing my clit. His other hand attacked the buttons of my blouse, eager to get at my breasts. I loved it, shuddering on his fingers as he fumbled at the buttons. Then I became impatient.
Let me. Your hands need to be busy in other spots.
Sean grinned at me and then shoved his other hand beneath my smock. I groaned, arching back into the couch as his fingers played with my clit and pumped in my pussy. My goes curled, flexing out of the flats I wore. My fingers worked the buttons open and exposed my round breasts topped by hard nipples. I pulled on them and groaned as he pumped his fingers faster and faster. It was wonderful. Sean grinned at me, just like he had when we were in college. I could see the love in his eyes. He leaned over and sucked my nipple into his mouth. I groaned as he nibbled and bit. I grabbed his ponytail, holding it in one hand while the other raised above my head.
Yes, yes, yes.
I groaned as Sean pumped first two then three fingers in and out of my juicy pussy.
Oh yes.
Shoot, that's good.
Oh yes.
Keep fingering me.
Oh, you are such a stud, Sean.
My stud. Tears burned in my eyes. I had my husband back. I had missed so many years, but we could rebuild our intimacy. I gripped his ponytail, my knuckles widening, as he nibbled on my nub. He nipped it and stretched it, playing with it. He hadn't missed a beat.
His thumb rubbed along my clit.
Pleasure sparked into my pussy. I clenched down on his fingers, squirming, loving what he did to me. My eyes fluttered and the couch groaned as I humped into his wonderful fingers.
Yes, Sean.
I purred. Are you going to come? He asked, looking up from my nipple.
You better believe it.
Keep stroking me.
Oh, yes.
It's so wonderful to have you again, Sean. I was such an idiot for staying away. You're here now.
The tears fell down my cheeks as I stared into his green eyes. I loved this man so much that I pulled him to my lips, kissing him hard as the tears fell.
My pussy contracted. I came on his plunging fingers. I moaned into his lips, shuddering on him. My thighs wrapped about his waist as my pussy convulsed on those fingers. My hands slid down his body as I came. My fingers itched for his cock. The pleasure boiled for me as my hands found his bulge. I squeezed him, bringing a moan to his lips. He kissed me harder, ripping his fingers out of my pussy as my pleasure crested through me. He broke our kiss to rip off his shirt. He threw it to the floor as I fumbled with his belt. He kissed me again as his hands, sticky with my spicy pussy juices, gripped my tits. I groaned, his fingers finding my nipples, pinching and rolling them. The surge of pleasure made it more difficult to undo his belt. I groaned into his mouth when I succeeded. I popped open the slacks fastener and ripped down the zipper. My hands shoved into his boxers and found his cock. I stroked him. He groaned into the kiss as I brought him to my pussy, rubbing his shaft against my cunt. 14 years since we made love. 14 years trying to forget him,
to move on with my life. 14 years of fear keeping me away from this, passion, love, family. Sean's cock sank into me. I broke the kiss, moaning.
Yes. Yes, yes, I love you, Sean. Love you, Tiff.
He groaned, nuzzling my ear as he thrust, burying his cock into my sloppy depths, his balls smacking into my taint. The couch groaned louder as we made love. My hands roamed his bare back, sometimes scratching when the pleasure swelled in my depths. His cock slid in and out of me. He groaned, nuzzling at my neck, kissing me as his dick excited my nerve endings.
You're so tight.
He groaned. Tighter than I remember.
Tight as the first time?
I moaned.
Yes.
He groaned.
Damn, Tiff. Advantages to having your wife come back 18.
I panted, humping harder, my firm breasts bouncing. We kissed again, hips moving in unison. I swiveled and ground into them, using my thighs locked around his waist to leverage my cunt up and down his cock as he thrust. I slid my hands down, squeezing his flexing ass as he pumped in me. The pleasure swelled, another hot orgasm building in my body. My pussy drank in every thrust of his cock, savoring the friction. It swelled in me. I ground my clit into his pubic bone, clawing at his ass as my pleasure built.
Oh yes, Sean.
I whined. I know that sound. He grunted.
Come for me.
Yes, yes, yes. I gasped.
Jeepers, yes.
Jeepers. He laughed. I was a nun for 14 years. I groaned.
I learned too.
Shoot, that's good.
Sean.
I.
Yes.
I came dot NY pussy spasmed about my husband's cock. My husband. Just thinking those words increased the pleasure. The bliss flooded my body and reached my mind. I stared at the ceiling as my fingernails dug into the meat of his flexing ass. Good. I missed this so much that I trembled beneath him, thrashing, bucking. My pussy massaged his cock. He kept thrusting, his stamina holding out, fucking me through my orgasm. I groaned, savoring the bliss pumping through my veins while his dick stirred fresh delight inside of me. Then he rolled over, pulling me onto his lap. I straddled him, sliding down his cock. He grinned at me.
Let me see you go wild. Like you did when you were 20.
I smiled, raising my arms over my head and undulating, my maid's smock bunched around my waist, my tits bouncing free before my husband's face. He slid his hands up, squeezing my tits, his fingers tweaking them. My pussy clenched on his dick when I did.
That's it, ride me.
He grinned.
Damn, Tiff, I can't believe this. It's really you. You're here. You're back. Forever.
I panted, staring into his eyes as I worked my hips.
Forever and ever and ever.
His hands slid from my tits to my hips, gripping them as his face twisted with pleasure. I knew that look. His orgasm built. His cum swelled in his balls, ready to unleash into his wife's sloppy depths. To wash away Mark's cum, I leaned closer, putting my arms around his neck, my boobs bobbing right before his face. My tits brushed his lips. He nuzzled into him, his hands sliding down to grip my ass, squeezing hard. He groaned into my breasts, kissing and sucking.
Come in me, Sean.
I begged.
Do it. Oh yes, erupt. I want to feel that just flood my pussy.
Yes.
He groaned and slammed me down his cock.
Tiffany.
His cum exploded into me.
I gasped, savoring the feel of his jizz squirting against my folds. So hot and delicious. I writhed on him, trembling and bucking. The pleasure swelled through me.
I squirmed, rubbing my clit into his groin, and climaxed out. I moaned his name as my pussy milked his cock, squeezing out every last drop of his jizz. The pleasure burned through my mind.
My husband came in me. Fresh tears fell down my cheeks as we kissed, moaning, sharing our pleasure. It was wonderful. Our tongues danced as we trembled and writhed. My pleasure peaked in me. And then I floated. I felt so light as I straddled him, his strong arms squeezing and massaging my ass.
I could drift dash.
All right, Mom.
Hooped Missy behind me.
That was hot. I blinked and turned around. Missy, naked as the day she was born, clapped, her tiny A-cup titties bouncing, her shaved pussy virginal tight, making the 18-year-old appear even younger. Her nipples were hard, her face flushed, her thighs sticky. Wasn't that awesome, Felicity?
Yes, mistress.
The innocent-looking schoolgirl beside my daughter purred, her legs coltish long. Would you care for any refreshments, master?
Champagne.
Sean groaned out. I licked my lips. This was all so new. I rolled off Sean, sitting beside him on the couch, his cum leaking out of my pussy while the schoolgirl scurried off, eager to obey. Missy sauntered towards us, a playful smile on her young face.
You were hot, Mom. You rode Dad like a champ.
Thanks.
I blushed.
Missy fell to her knees before me. She reached out, pushing my legs apart. I gasped at her touch on my inner thighs, her hands sliding up to my messy pussy. A strange thrill ran through me as my own daughter touched me.
I'm delicious.
Missy leaned in and licked her father's cum out of my pussy. I gasped as her tongue fluttered through my folds. It was quick and fast, teasing me. Driving me wild. I groaned, unable to believe this was really happening.
Missy.
I moaned. Sean's arm went around me.
Enjoy, dear.
Uh-huh. I groaned, closing my eyes, savoring the wicked, incestuous thrill of my daughter devouring her father's jizz out of my pussy. My toes curled as her tongue burrowed deeper, swirling, gathering, hungry.
Oh, this is wonderful.
Sean kissed me while I humped on my daughter's mouth. This was my new life. Debauchery while living in the circle of Mark's influence. There were hardly any nuns left.
Our attack today was the last, desperate attempt by heaven to stop him. No one would now. Mark would grow more and more powerful, and I would be there with my family, supporting him and sharing in the sin.my. Hand tightened on Missy's strawberry blonde curls. I humped against her hungry mouth. The thrill of her soft lips licking at the very pussy that birthed her sent me over the edge. I threw back my head and screamed out my climax. Yes, yes, yes. I love this. It's amazing. Oh yes. Such wicked pleasure. I couldn't wait to make love to Mary. And Shannon. All three of my daughters in bed with Sean. Oh, that would be wicked. Chapter 4. With the world so interconnected at the height of the information age, images and videos of the false miracle went viral. Seen across the planet. The demonic intercession of the adversary catapulted the tyrants into the world's spotlight. The delusional masses believed the lie. They proclaimed Mark and Mary Glasner the living gods. From that day on, the world marched towards the birth of the tyrannical theocracy. Excerpt from The History of the Tyrant's Theocracy, by Tina Allard. Mark Glasner, South Hill, Washington. I pulled Mary to me, slipping an arm around her waist. It was so good to feel her in my arms. Let's go inside. She gave one last look at her parents as they walked down the street to Sean's house, then nodded. A tremble raced through her. She took a deep breath and asked, "Did Alice die?" "She was alive last I heard. I saw them loading her into an ambulance. But she was in critical condition." I swallowed. "Was that your mom's doing? Alice shooting me?" "Yeah," Mary whispered, tears swimming in her emerald depths. "My mom went from being used by one side to being used by the other." I snorted. "Heaven's methods are terrible. They used my sister. Alice might die. And what about Chastity and the other bodyguards?" Anger boiled in me. I glanced at Tiffany. She looked so happy as she disappeared into the house with Sean. I wanted to go over there and. "This is all so fucked up, Mare." "Yes, it is." Her words were careful. Slow. I glanced at her. "What?" Mary frowned, biting her lip. I think we need to be more careful about our powers. About whom we use them on." My eyebrows furrowed. My stomach knotted. I didn't like the turn of his conversation.
"What do you mean?"
"Mark, you've broken up people's marriages and relationships. Like 51 and other members of the bodyguards."
"Yeah.
And who knows what other consequences have happened because of the things you've done. How did you affect the people in the By Best orgy? Or how about the guy you took your Mustang from? And what about all the other women you just enjoyed? Do any of them have lasting consequences?"
"Maybe."
"What are you saying, Mayor?" "We could use our powers to help people. Make their lives better. Not destroy them." "So, no more fucking any woman I want?" I asked her pointedly.
"Well, no." Mary frowned.
"I like that. Just, don't ruin their lives. Don't break up their relationships. Give them some happiness. Make their lives better, maybe. And I think we should release the sluts from our control."
"What?"
I asked in surprise. A surge of jealous, possessive anger rushed through me.
"No, no. I love my sluts. I love them too, Mark. But what if deep inside they're unhappy? What if they're like my mom? She acted like being with Kurt was amazing, but the moment she was freed, all the evil, degrading things he did to her came back."
She hesitated. "I'm not saying you're as bad as Kurt, because you're not. But, I say we give them a choice. Free them and let them choose to be with us instead of making them our slaves." She paused.
"Like you did with me. I'm not sure we can free them from the Zima spell."
I protested. "They may still be tied to us even as we tell them to ignore our commands.
Well, at least we can give them back their free will, like we did with our families."
Mary paused, giving me a serious look. "You say I'm all you really need. You were ready to give everything up, not just the sluts, for me at the cabin." I sighed.
"Fine, Mary. But we need the bodyguards.
For now," Mary said with a nod. "Maybe we can find others who are willing to protect us. Then we can free those who don't want to serve us. Or we could pay them or something. And find a way to protect them." I muttered.
"Okay, we'll do it. I don't want to lose the sluts, but Chastity."
She nodded her head, looking somber. I had to say something to cheer her up. I said the first dumb thing that popped into my head.
"You do know if there are no sluts around, I'm making you do all the cooking and cleaning."
She froze then giggled. It was wonderful to hear her relax. She leaned up on her tiptoes, lips inches from mine.
"You haven't tried my cooking. You might regret those words."
Then she gave me a quick, hot kiss. Inside the house, the sluts were busy sweeping up the broken glass, or wiping up the blood stain from Shio's wound. Sam sat at the dining room table, a pile of books spread out as she was busy translating the magics of the Witch of Ender.
"Sam, is there a way to break the Zima bond?"
I asked her.
"I don't know, Master,"
Sam answered, adjusting her silver glasses on her round face, her slanted eyes considering.
"I haven't found that spell in here yet.
Find out," I ordered.
"I will, sir. Let's go change,"
Mary said.
"Sluts, I want you waiting in the dining room in 10 minutes. Mark and I have something to tell you,"
they chorused.
"Yes, mistress,"
in happy tones. Even Noel, her eyes still red from crying, had a smile on her lips. Mary and I headed upstairs. We changed into clean clothes. It took me no time at all while Mary dithered on which sundress to wear. She finally settled on one.
I frowned at her as she put it on with slow care. She was scared of the consequences. A part of her didn't want to lose the sluts.
We still have each other, I told her, slipping up behind her. Besides, as powerful as we're going to be, I bet there will be plenty of young women wanting to serve us. But they won't be Allison and Desiree, Violet and Lillian, April and Shio. No Fiona and Namina. No doll-faced Corina or tough Noelle. Sam Smarts and Dr. Willow's wicked smiles and Jessica's naughty tongue. No helping it.
It's the right thing to do, Mare. I'm the one who told you that, she said.
So why do you have to convince me?
Because change sucks.
Yes, it does.
She took a deep breath, then adjusted the straps of her dress.
Okay, let's do this.
The sluts waited, gathered around the dining room table. I looked them all over, slutty Allison sitting on Desiree's lap, Lillian with her black hair highlighted with blue and purple streaks, cute and innocent Violet and April, dusky the Mina, caramel-skinned Jessica, cinnamon-skinned Willow, sandy blonde Noelle, doll-faced Corina, olive-skinned Sam, and strawberry blonde Fiona. Only Shio and Karen were missing. And Chastity. I closed my eyes, forcing back the tears. Mary may have been able to forgive her mother, but I wasn't sure I would ever be able to. Chastity was such a wonderful and dependable woman. There was grief and worry on all of the sluts' faces. They miss Chastity as much as I do.
Master, Shio is in surgery,
Willow, our doctor slut, reported.
The surgeon is very good. He seems to think she'll survive. But the bullet lodged into her uterus. So they are performing a hysterectomy. 04 and 47 are in the ICU and have been upgraded to serious. Doctors do not expect 30 to survive. Alice is also still in critical condition and is also in surgery.
Thank you, I nodded, closing my eyes. This was the right thing to do. Mary looked over the sluts. She bit at her lip, then said,
I have come to care for all of you very much. We forced you to be our slaves and Dash. We wanted to be your slaves, Master.
Allison protested. Violet nodded.
You and Master are so wonderful. How could we not want to be your slaves?
Yeah,
April nodded. She looked so cute and nerdy with her glasses on.
Well, Mark and I want you to choose to be with us,
Mary continued.
Oh, I choose, Mistress,
Damina said with no hesitation. All the other girls also chimed in eagerly. I swallowed, my stomach twisting. I was really doing this. I glanced at Mary, and she gave me a supportive smile.
Fuck it. Until tomorrow at noon, all of you can make your own decisions and will not have to do what Mary and I tell you.
At noon, you will return to the house and we will let you choose to stay with us or we'll let you go and live your lives. Mary repeated my words and the girls' expressions changed faster than a light bulb turning off as they realized what had happened to them. Pain, anger, confusion clouded their faces. Noelle burst into tears and Amina drew herself up, eyes burning. They all yelled and shouted. Violet's shoulders slumped while Fiona reeled. My stomach sank. We had stolen them from their lives. We had forced them to do this.
No, don't go, Master,
Allison shouted as Mary and I retreated outside to the waiting 10 bodyguards. 51 glanced at the sluts, some of them pouring out of the house onto the porch. Fiona screamed at us, her face redder than her strawberry blonde hair. Noelle stumbled out and gripped the porch's railing, her entire body swaying.
Sir?
51 asked, her face concerned. We're going to Good Sam Hospital, I growled, feeling sick at the pain I had caused them. Maybe Allison would stay, but the rest were horrified. We had lost them all, but we had set them free. They wouldn't be forced to die for us like Chastity had.
Yes, sir.
51 saluted, then barked orders at the remaining members of the guard. We had to go to the hospital. Shio and the wounded bodyguards were there. They were hurt because of us. The least we could do is be there for them, but not in my Mustang. It was ruined. A round had come through the garage and punctured the engine block. Oil puddled on the floor beneath it. Beside it, Mary's Eos had a shattered windshield and a shot-up fender. I groaned and Mary let out a frustrated hiss. She loved her Eos.
51, we'll take your patrol car,
I sighed, leading Mary from the garage. Fiona glared at us from the porch, the Mina sitting despondently by her. I ignored them. I would make it up to them somehow, ensure they had nice lives away from us. 51 reached her patrol car and opened the back door for us.
Can I speak to you, Mr. Glasner?
I turned to see Chief Hayworth walked across the lawn from a group of lingering cops. He was a whip-thin, iron-hard man wearing a navy blue dress uniform. He was Chief of Police of Puyallup and shook my hand with a firm grip.
Yeah, Chief. What a mess, he said sadly, shaking his head.
Officer Vinto was a fine cop,
I agreed. Chastity was the best.
What have you told the media?
The truth, he answered.
A group of disgruntled Pierce County SWAT officers attacked you. 6 officers lost their lives protecting you and many others were hurt. Sheriff Urquhart is being grilled by the media. It looks bad for him. Can you have a few of your cops stick around to keep the media out of the street? I asked.
Sure, Mr. Glasner,
he nodded. I hear you're running for office. State rep, right? I looked around at the neighborhood, frowning. Mary had been pushing for it, wanting me to run as the representative for the city of Puyallup. I could do a lot of good with my power, change things. Make them better. So things like this would not happen any longer. I could make sure that Chastity and the others did not die in vain.
Yeah.
Can I count on your support? I asked the chief.
Sure.
Chief Hayworth smiled. Doug Allard, Jebel Outlaws, Saudi Arabia. I turned off the TV,
tired of watching the blathering of idiots deceived by Mark's supposed miracle. They failed. It's over. Mark's won. My wife nodded. She still sat naked at the computer in our tent at the foot of Jebel Al-Ahz, the real Mount Sinai in the Saudi Arabia desert. Here was our sanctuary, guarding the true copy of the magics of the Witch of Ender, safeguarding for the day when the darkness could be defeated. 40 years hiding in the wilderness. The angels had prepared it for us, surrounding it with a barrier. They provided us manna to eat, fuel to power the generator, and a tent to live in. We had internet and satellite radio, though our cell phones had no coverage. We could observe the outside world, monitor it, and gather intelligence on the warlocks Mark and Mary. But our outlets for interactions were limited. Already the internet was blowing up with the miracle, as everyone dubbed Mark's healing. But I knew there was nothing miraculous about it. The crimson light proved a demon healed him. Mark had made another pact. How much suffering will they cause? I asked, sinking onto our bed. I don't know, Tina answered. She looked young, 18, transformed by the gift. We may be the last nun and monk in the world outside of Mother Superior Miriam back in France. But we'll have the truth ready when he is defeated. She turned to the computer and kept writing, using my notes I gathered when I was hired by Brandon Fitzsimmons to investigate Mark Glasner. That felt like another lifetime, when I had been a PI scrounging to make a living and support my wife. Now I was a champion of heaven, my body fit, given powers of combat, and trained by an angel in my dreams. I leaned back on the cot and pondered the future of the world given over to darkness while my wife typed away at my laptop, keys clicking. Would people ever get to read what she wrote? Chapter 5. I received my great calling in the most unlikely of places, the locker room of Rogers Community College. When I came to school that day in June, I had no idea that the majesty of the living God would grace me with his divine blessing. I had been reforged in an orgy of sapphic love, stripped of all my moral hang-ups, and made into a new woman, a slave for my lover and master. The living God filled me with his love and passion, and so I set out with my lover and master, Brian, to preach the truth of love to those with closed minds. 2 Missionaries 1:1-3. Vivian Anders Spanaway, Washington. I stared at the pregnancy test. Two pink lines. They appeared almost immediately after I pissed on the absorbent end. I'm pregnant, I whispered to myself as I stumbled out of the bathroom. I looked over at my girlfriend, Cynthia. She sat on our bed, a hopeful, concerned, worried expression on her face. So many emotions. I didn't get what you said, she said, biting her lip. You mumbled. I walked past our webcam, set up on a tripod to stream our lovemaking on the internet, and reached the bed. I'm pregnant, Sin. When my period did not come on time, I tried to tell myself I was just late. It happens to some women. Not to me. At least, not since I was 14 and had my first period. But maybe I was just stressed or something. I had come out to my parents about being gay. Turned out my mom was a closet dyke, and we had such a wonderful threesome and moved in with my girlfriend. We were streaming our lovemaking, just like Mark wanted, while I had to deal with my dad, who had no idea what mom did at those women's meetings. For church, badgered me about sexual counseling and praying the gay away. It was all so much. Ever since I met Mark Glasner that morning in the Starbucks coffee shop, my life had changed. He introduced me to my sweet sin and showed me my true desires. So I didn't even realize my period hadn't come until this morning while peeing on the toilet, and it struck me. I realized I was overdue, that I might be pregnant, and I was. And there was only one man who could be the father, Mark Glasner. I remembered that glorious day that Mark Glasner walked into the Starbucks. It was a Thursday. I stood in line, waiting for my morning fix. Mark walked in, kicked out all the customers, and fucked me and Cynthia and Mary. It was so hot how he took control. And I fell in love with Cynthia that day. Since then, Cynthia had quit her job, and we were supporting ourselves by streaming our lovemaking on nasty-girls-live.com. You're pregnant? Cynthia repeated. The punk girl's expression softened. Awe and love washed across her face. And then she gave an excited squeal. I had never seen her like this at all. We're having a baby! She hugged me and kissed me. I would have to thank Mark when I saw him for giving me a family. I guess I would see him at his wedding. The invitations arrived not too long ago, and Cynthia and I spent a fun day shopping for dresses. At Mark Glasner's residence. Hearing Mark Glasner's name broke me out of the sweet kiss. He was always on the news. What had he done now? I glanced at the TV sitting on Cynthia's dresser facing the bed. It was the news. Cynthia and I had been following his exploits, wondering how he could do the things he did. He caused an orgy at my best the same day he fucked us at the Starbucks. And there were all those bank robberies that weren't really robberies. On the TV, there was a clip of men in black shooting automatic weapons. I frowned. What was going on? Violence erupted in this quiet street in South Hill, the female reporter said. The crawl at the bottom of the screen identified her as Deborah Horndarnell of Q13 Fox News. I'm standing here in the aftermath of a brutal attack by the disgraced Pierce County SWAT officers on the home of Mark Glasner. Last week, it came out that this exact same SWAT unit was embroiled in a sexual misconduct scandal centered around the Glasner residence. What you are about to watch is graphic. Deborah warned. An image of Mark Glasner talking with a black-haired woman played on the TV. I jumped as Mark took an entire gunful of bullets to the chest. He stumbled backward and fell on the grass, the woman who shot him jerking as Mark's bodyguards took her down. Oh no. I gasped, my heart clenching.
Cynthia squeezed my hand as I watched the father of my child dying on the TV. As Mark lay dying, the SWAT officers attacked. Deborah reported. My cameraman and I were on the scene prepping a story when we captured the firefight. More clips of a shootout were shown. We would catch glimpses of Mark being worked on by two women, one in a slutty nurse's outfit and the other in a slutty cop's outfit during the firefight. How courageous. I whispered to Cynthia as I was riveted to the TV. What? She asked. The bodyguards. They're trying to protect him while they're dressed in naughty Halloween costumes. Cynthia gave a wicked laugh. I bet that's Mark's doing. Then her smile faded as she stared at the TV. Fuck. I nodded my head. The most amazing part came after the firefight ended. Deborah said. There was something in her voice, almost reverent. Aw, maybe? The clip changed to three paramedics working over Mark when suddenly a scarlet light engulfed the dying man. Everyone around him froze, the paramedics, the watching cops, even the reporter. Then Mark pulled off the oxygen mask, ripped out the fore and sat up, looking hale and hearty. My heart hammered in amazement. What was going on? What the bleep? A paramedic shouted, his expletive censored. My thoughts whirled in my head. That paramedic was right, what the bleep? Mark ripped off the bandages and in full HD you could clearly see perfectly unblemished skin beneath the bloody bandages. Mark gave a wordless, exhilarating roar then shouted. I am alive. Mary, I'm alive. It's a miracle. The female paramedic gasped. The wounds have healed. My God, they're completely gone. A confused chatter broke out among the cops and firemen standing around. How? Someone asked. A miracle. And, praise God, could be heard. What are you? A fireman asked, and the clip ended, cutting back to the studio with a picture-in-picture of Deborah live on location in the corner of the screen. What do you think happened? The anchor asked Deborah. A miracle. Deborah said, her eyes shining with unprofessional fervor. Mark Glasner is some sort of divine creature. A god, maybe? It explains everything about him. Why people obey him. The anchor's forehead furrowed. Did you say, he's a god, Deborah? Yes, a god. A living god. Rapture transformed Deborah's face, her eyes unfocused. A miracle happened in South Hill today. It was real. He was dying, perforated by bullets, and then he healed himself. He is a great man. We should all be dash. Deborah's rant was cut off and the anchor apologized. We're having technical problems with the signal from Deborah. A tragic day in South Hill, six cops dead and many more injured, from a shootout with dash. I turned the TV off. I rubbed my belly, my eyes wide in amazement as I glanced at Cynthia. She was equally stunned. Mark Glasner was a god. He was shot and killed and came back to life. He was a god. That's how he made an entire store full of people fuck each other. How could you refuse a god anything? I couldn't. I reached down, stroking my flat stomach. A little god grew inside me. Cynthia reached out and stroked my belly, tenderly. She thought the same thing I was. Mark Glasner had blessed my family and the entire world needed to know. I pulled out my phone and sent out a tweet. Hashtag Mark Glasner is God and I am carrying his child. Aurora Miller Graham, Washington. My phone vibrated. My sister sent me a tweet. Well, a retweet from someone named Vivian Anders. Hashtag Mark Glasner is God and I am carrying his child. Can you believe how crazy this is? My sister tweeted at me. You met that guy. A god? That's bullshit. He raped you with his gas. I frowned. I did know Mark. I could vividly remember that day 3 weeks ago when he walked into the Secret Treasure, the lingerie shop in the South Hill Mall where I worked. He was accompanied by his girlfriend, Mary, and some pink-haired chick they called there. Slut. Before I knew what was happening, my coworker Heather and I were sucking Mark's cock while his girlfriend and the slut modeled lingerie.to this day. I do not know what came over me. The FBI said he used gas on me, but I never saw it. Whatever Mark said I would do. I sucked his cock, then I happily ate my first pussy, Heather's, as she returned the favor. Mark wanted us to eat each other's cunts and ordered us to 60-9.so we did. We would have done anything for him and his girlfriend. Afterward, Heather and I could not look each other in the eyes. We knew we weren't ourselves that day, but neither of us could forget what Mark made us do to each other. Heather switched shifts so we wouldn't work together any longer. That was how awkward it had grown between us. But what was this tweet about? Why would anyone think Mark Glasner was a god? I googled on my phone about Mark being a god and dozens of links popped up. The first was a YouTube vid. 30 minutes of unedited news clip dubbed The Miracle in South Hill. The clip was uploaded by reporter Deb13 and already had 10 million views. I watched in fascination as Mark was shot by a woman a bunch of times in the chest, the intense firefight that followed, and then the scarlet light and the miracle of Mark coming back to life. At the end of the clip, the poster, reporter Deborah Horndarnell, gave a breathless rant about how Mark Glasner was a god or some sort of divine being. Then the rest of the clip was her interviewing the cops, firemen and paramedics who witnessed the miracle. All of them agreed that Mark was shot 5 times and then, amazingly, was healed. These professional-looking men and women were shaken. Some with disbelief, others with worshipful awe.My eyes were wide in comprehension in why I obeyed him. He didn't gas me, which was a ridiculous idea to make me a slut that day. Whoever heard of a gas that could make you a slut for a man and then left no chemical trace in the body? No, I had been touched by a god, tasted his seed. I was blessed. I started typing a comment to the video the world had to know.
Jessica, Jesse, Smith, South Hill, Washington.
Yes, 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 fuck my ass.
I moaned as my boyfriend, and pimp, pounded me from behind, his cock sliding in and out of my asshole, a final romp before my evening, escorting a wealthy client. Since the by best orgy, Kevin and I had found our true calling, a pimp and his hoe. I love being a prostitute, of giving the best customer service in the world. I learned it when Mark Glasner had me service every guy in the store. They queued up behind me, fucking me one after the other, getting their satisfaction. That day changed my life for the better. Now I had Kevin, my huge dick boyfriend whom I loved, and we had our business divine escorts. It was growing rapidly, and we were about to add another couple girls to our roster of sluts, Rosalita and Stacy, my co-workers from the Buy Best. They were eager to quit working for minimum wage and make real money.
Yes, yes, fuck my ass.
I moaned, working my hips, Kevin's balls smacking into my taint.
Holy shit, you have to see this.
Gasped my roommate, and as she burst out of her bedroom wearing only a thong, her naked tits bouncing. She was the first whore to sign up with our company. Mark Glasner just came back from the dead. People are calling him a god. Kevin stopped in mid-thrust, his dick buried in my ass.
What?
See. And brandished her tablet, open to a YouTube video. Just watch. You have to understand.
We did.
My eyes widened as the miracle happened.
He was a god. It was so clear.
I snagged my phone and tagged every single one of our coworkers from the Buy Best, all of those who had wondered why they participated in the orgy, and showed them why their lives were changed by Mark Glasner.It all made such sense. He was a god. He taught us all a new form of open love and acceptance of our sexual desires. I hit send then rocked back into Kevin's cock.
I've fucked a god, Kevin.
A god.
Shit.
He groaned. We can charge more for people to fuck you.
Yes.
I squealed and came. Lucy McKay Puyallup, Washington.
Oh god, that was good.
I moaned, falling back on my pillow, pleasure bursting through my body while my lover, Fatima, lifted her gaze from between my thighs, her face smeared with my juices.
Are you sure you don't want more?
Fatima asked, her dark eyes shining.
No, my dusky, insatiable lesbian.
I groaned. I got to get ready for work. Fatima leaned up, her right wrist still bandaged from her suicide attempt, and planted a hot kiss on my lips. The last 2 days had been a dream thanks to Fatima. We were together. She had finally accepted who she was, a lesbian. All thanks to Mark Glasner. I moaned into the kiss, our sweaty bodies pressing together. We had made love constantly since our reunion Monday afternoon. My phone chirped. I groaned, breaking the kiss.
I have to get ready for work, Fatima.
Oh, fine. She moaned, rolling off of me, her legs spread wide. And I'm so horny.
Well, you wanted to keep licking my pussy.
I giggled. And you didn't let me return the favor now, did you? Now I have to earn the big bucks and keep the lights on and us fed. I had the evening shift at the Buy Best. I hated working evenings. I usually work days, but once a week Oscar, the manager, gave me this shift. I snagged my phone on my way to the bathroom, checking the notification. It was a text from Jessie, my coworker who quit her job to become a prostitute. Well, she was happy with Kevin, another coworker, and her boyfriend slash pimp. I never thought those two would ever hook up, but the orgy changed us all. My eyes gaped at her text.
Watch immediately.
Mark Glasner is a god.
Fatima.
I said, curiosity burning through me. I hit play, coming back to the bed. I think we should watch this. The video was stunning. We were both convinced. Mark Glasner was a god who brought us such happiness. He gave us what we needed even though either Fatima or I knew it. He showed us we were soulmates. I cried with her as we embraced. Fuck work. This was far more important. Brian Carpenter, South Hill, Washington.
I can't believe this. My girlfriend said, squirming in her pink ropes. Other than the bonds wrapping her cute body, she was naked and kneeling before me, her ass wiggling.
He's a god, Brian.
A god.
And he ensured we could be together and experience our true desires.
I groaned, staring down at the woman I loved. My sex slave.
My girlfriend.
We were both so repressed by Christianity, either of us could admit to each other what we really wanted. This, and then Mark cut through it all with a few simple words. He changed us both.
People have to know, sir.
Suzette said, her eyes wide.
We have to tell them. We have to spread the word.
He changed us.
Touched us.
He is a god.
A living god.
Yes.
I agreed then laughed.
We always talked about being missionaries together. Beth Phillips Sumner, Washington. I sat on the couch, next to my husband, Eric, watching the Miracle in South Hill YouTube clip on my tablet, those annoying earbuds pinching my ears. I had to wear them so I wouldn't disrupt my husband's precious TV time. Mark Glasner had made the news again. I had seen him on the news many times since that day 3 weeks ago when he fucked me in the bathroom of the Larson Volkswagen dealership. My husband, Eric, and I had been out shopping for a new car when Mark walked up to me, told me to go to the bathroom, and wait for him there naked. Not understanding why I did it, I followed his orders. He fucked me in that bathroom while my husband waited outside the door. Eric thought I had a stomach bug, but really I was having the best sex of my life. I couldn't stop thinking of Mark Glasner. Every time my husband's small dick was in me, the few times he's fucked me since that day, I thought of Mark's big cock. How great it felt as it plowed into me, stretching me, making me come. Eric hadn't satisfied me with his cock since.
I even had to buy a dildo to pleasure myself with, pretending it was Mark fucking me again. A few days ago, I found out I was pregnant. After Mark, I hadn't slept with my husband for a week. The timing was right with my ovulation cycle for Mark to be the father. I didn't know how to tell my husband I was having another man's child. I didn't know how to tell my husband that I didn't want to be his wife any longer. There had been a rift growing between Eric and me, which Mark split wide open that day. And now my entire world had changed. When I got home from work, I got on Reddit, like I always did, and this YouTube clip was at the top of the front page with over 7 million upvotes, the number one story on the site. So I clicked on the link and could not tear my eyes away for the entire 30-minute clip. Now my mind wild. What had I just witnessed? A miracle? A god? I scrolled through the comments. People were debating the video. Some said it was a hoax, others a miracle, and a few claimed it was aliens. One comment jumped out at me, from Aurora 45. I drank Mark's seed. I am blessed by him. He is a god. My co-worker and I pleasured each other for him. All it took was his word, and we were his slaves. He is a god. He is a god. The words crystallized in my mind. The way I had acted that day, the way his voice reached into my soul and compelled me to submit to him. It wasn't normal. No man had ever so thoroughly dominated me with so little effort. But a god. Yes, a god could do that. No wonder the world was changing. No wonder Mark Glasner was creating such a swirl about him the last few weeks. Every time the news was on, they talked about him. He had come to this world, the divine clothed in real flesh. No wonder Eric's cock couldn't satisfy me. I had lain with a god. What mere mortal's cock could ever satisfy me again? A god planted a child inside me. My hand rubbed unconsciously at my stomach. Another user, Anastasia Milburn, created a Google Plus community titled Women Who've Lain with Mark Glasner. I clicked on the link and read with fascination as Anastasia described meeting Mark while jogging. At first she was shocked, then he commanded her to jog naked with him, and it was all so clear. She stripped on the spot. When they returned to her house, Mark fucked her in the kitchen as her husband showered upstairs. Now I'm Mark's slut and my husband's slut, and I've never been happier. I miss my period today. I may be carrying Mark's child. My hubby is so happy to share me with a god. Anastasia also posted a video, clearly taken on a cell phone. It's over, Stan. A woman shouted. The image showed a different angle from the YouTube video. Police and ambulances streamed past, heading for the lawn where Mark lay. My god, I think Mark's been shot. Alarm filled her voice. It'll be okay, Anna. The man, presumably Stan, said. The video played for a few more minutes with the occasional comment from Anastasia and her husband, Stan, as paramedics worked on Mark. My stomach clenched as the moment neared. Another angle from another video of the miracle. Then the crimson light flared. It wasn't a hoax. Not with another camera capturing it. Mark sat up as Anastasia gasped over and over. Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. A miracle. Stan whispered in awe, and the video ended. Other women were joining the group, describing their encounters with Mark Glasner and his consort, the beautiful, and possibly divine, Mary. Lucy McKay wrote. I worked at my best and was there during the orgy. Mark Glasner fucked me from behind as I ate out Fatima's pussy. No one knows how Mark made us all fuck each other. He must be angel or a god or something. Now Fatima and I are dating and we're so happy. It's all thanks to Mark Glasner. Rosalita commented on Lucy McKay's post. I know. Me and Stacy are so happy. And we never would have gotten together if the orgy never happened. Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much. My pussy began to itch in my pants. I had to get off. I'm going to lie down. I lied to Eric. Sure, he said. One of those stupid singing competition shows was on. Eric loved them. He would be watching TV until 10. Plenty of time for me to get off once or twice. I took my tablet into the bedroom. Door closed, I shimmied out of my pants and panties, my hips wiggling. I ran a finger through the fine down of hair that grew between my legs, yellow as corn silk and just as soft. I was wet, the juices matting down the hair around my pussy. I pulled out the big, purple dildo from my panties drawer and settled onto the bed. Yvonne DePonte posted. I work as a night concierge at Four Seasons in Seattle. Few weeks ago, Mark and six naked women piled out of limo in the middle of night. Mark took one look at me and I was butter in his hands. He fucked my snatch hard in the elevator ride up to his room. I've never been such a slut in my life and I loved it. I pushed the dildo up inside me, groaning as the rubber cock filled up my cunt. I gripped it by the base and pushed slowly in and out of my wet cunt. A shiver of pleasure ran through me and I eagerly read the next account. Hi everyone. I'm Macy. Macy Gladwin wrote. And yesterday I was in court to divorce my loser husband when Mark walked in with two gorgeous women and sat beside me. His women wore chokers that said they were his sluts. Allison, I think one was named, and the other was a beautiful Latina. I sucked Mark's cock and he fucked me up the ass in the courtroom. He told the judge to let us fuck and the dried up old hag just let us. I came so hard. I slid my dildo faster and harder inside me. My breath quickening as the excitement built. My sphincter clenched, naughty thoughts racing through my mind. I've never been fucked up the ass before. Eric always wanted to do it, but it always sounded so dirty. But reading Macy's account left me wondering what it was like if Mark fucked my ass. That I purred in delight, fucking my cunt faster and faster, pleasure fluttering through me. Maybe I would shove my dildo up there and give myself a nice little cum.
I wiggled my hips and let out a soft sigh and kept reading.
"Hey all," Bonnie Slate wrote. "I've not fucked Mark yet. But I ate out his fiancée, the very beautiful Mary Sullivan. She's the most heavenly woman I've ever met.
She seduced me while I took her measurements for her wedding dress. My little pussy's getting wet just thinking about it. She came in yesterday with her bridesmaids and we had a wild time in my back room. Mark must be quite a guy to please that woman. She must be a goddess too." I hammered the dildo in and out of my pussy as I read Daffodil Ethan's account, my toes curling. Just finished up my first year at Rogers Community College. On the last week of school, Mark walked into our locker room and sent our gym teacher packing. He ordered us gals to strip naked and we had an orgy in the locker room. It was so wild. I gave Mark a tit of fuck with my big old cans, and he gave me a nice cum bath. Daffodil upload a pic of her. Big old cans. She was a lovely girl, brunette, with large tits topped with fat, pink nipples. I pictured those tits wrapped around Mark's cock, his cum spewing all over those luscious melons. I licked my lips, pumping my dildo so fast in and out of my pussy until I shuddered with delight. My tablet slid off my chest onto the bed next to me as the pleasure burst inside of me. My pussy spasmed on it. I gasped and moaned, picturing it was Mark fucking me. A god ramming his heavenly cock into my pussy and making me squeal. It was wonderful.
"Yes, yes, yes, Mark. You're whore. You're pregnant whore."
My orgasm died down. I groaned and pulled my dildo out of my cunt. I couldn't resist licking my tart juices off, pretending I cleaned his dick. I closed my eyes, savoring my flavor as I sucked on the tip, my pussy on fire. I needed another cum. I fumbled for the KY jelly I kept in a drawer on my nightstand. Eric rarely makes me wet any longer, so I had to buy lube. I slicked my dildo until it glistened, bent my legs, and searched for my asshole. I found it, rubbing my big old dildo against the puckered opening. "Fuck my ass, God." I moaned. I pushed slowly. My eyes widened as my asshole resisted. A strange, burning pleasure flowed out of my ass. I groaned, trembling, eager to feel the dildo inside of me. I pushed harder, straining. And then the tip popped into my asshole. "Holy shit." I gasped as I pushed the dildo deeper and deeper. I felt so full back there. I grabbed the tablet and kept reading. There was a reply to Daffodil's story from Addison Savage. Oh wow, I was in that gym class. That was wild. I ate out so many girls' cunts. Super fun. I've been dreaming about Mark coming back for next year. He's like one of those Greek gods from mythology, you know, who comes down and fucks us mortal chicks. And my best friend, Suzette, was also in that orgy. She was such an uptight Christian, but now she is her boyfriend's sex slave. Brian and her are so cute together. We had a threesome the other night, and I totally spanked my best friend's ass while she sucked Brian's cock. Then she ate my pussy while he fucked her ass. It was so hot. I rolled over onto my side. It was easier fucking my ass than my back, and pumped the dildo in and out of my bowels. The pleasure was great once I relaxed my sphincter. I had my tablet before me, reading more and more comments as I worked myself to another wonderful orgasm. I only wished it was Mark's cock reaming my ass. I bet that would feel even more amazing. That Macy girl was so lucky to experience Mark's cock in her asshole. Me and Mom jog with Mark every morning. A Cassie Blackwood wrote. I love being Mark's slut with my mom. We are so close now. At home, me and Mom are sluts for Daddy. I'm so glad I met Mark. I tots worship him as a god.
Yes, yes.
I would worship him, too. I moaned, pumping the dildo faster. I would kneel before Mark and suck his cock and receive his blessing straight from the source. My orgasm swelled. Every time the dildo slid into my ass, the friction sent wonderful delight sparking to my pussy. A fire burned in my depths, a growing inferno fed by the dildo fucking my asshole. My body clenched. Oh, Mark. I moaned. Let me be yours. Let me taste your godly cum. My orgasm crashed through me, stars swimming in my eyes, and I could see Mark. He was watching me come for him. He was holy. I gasped, my back arching as the pleasure bathed my mind. It was so intense, so hot. I reached out for the vision of him, wanting to touch him. Wanting to love and worship him. And then my pleasure faded along with the vision. Panting, I slowly pulled the dildo out of my ass. Glancing at my tablet, I saw there was a new post. I'm out on the street where Mark lives, hoping to get a glimpse of him. Anina Royston posted, along with a pic of her in front of a housing development called Mountain View Estates. She was a pretty, 18-year-old girl with black hair and a plaited braid and a smiling face. She wore a red sundress decorated with white flowers. The photo was captioned with, "This is the dress I wore when Mark fucked me in the movie theater." I found my pants and a pair of comfortable shoes, then I pulled on the most revealing blouse I had. No bra. I wanted my assets to be on display. I knew what I had to do. As I walked out into the living room, I took one last look at my pathetic husband. "I'm leaving," I told him. "Where are you going, Beth?" he asked, eyes still focused on the TV. "To be with my God." Rose Cunningham, South Hill, Washington. "Oh, Mom," I moaned.
"Oh, yes, that's it. Eat my pussy."
I sat on the couch in the living room, letting my mom les out on my pussy. She was a really good muff diver. Her tongue dug through my blonde furred snatch as I gripped her brown hair and ground my pussy into her gentle lips. My twin sister, Daisy, knelt behind Mom and fucked her with a strap-on dildo. The fiery red shaft plowed in and out of Mom's cunt. I licked my lips,
watching Daisy's melons bounce as she fucked Mom nice and hard. I loved lezzing out with my mom and my twin sister. And it was all thanks to Mark and Mary. That wild day when we were shopping at Lawn and Care as a family, we ran into Mark and his girlfriend. It started out as a boring day being dragged along with my parents as they went on one of their home improvement kicks. Then it turned exciting. With just a few words, Mark had our whole family fucking him and his girlfriend Mary in the garden section. And my family had never been happier. We just love each other so much, and we were always eager to express the depths of our feelings. And my mom was really expressing how much she loved me with her delightful mouth on my pussy. Her tongue probed my hole, wiggling around against my sensitive pussy walls. She wiggled her face from side to side, the tip of her nose bumping wickedly against my clit.
"Mom's going to town on your pussy, huh, Rosie?"
Daisy panted.
"Oh, yes,"
I moaned.
"Mom's making me feel amazing. I'm gonna come real soon."
"Lezzy slut," Daisy taunted with a smile.
"You know all about that, Daisy,"
I retorted. The door opened and Dad walked in.
"You've got to see this," he said.
"Daddy," I groaned, miffed that he wasn't paying attention to us and heading straight for the TV. His three women were in a delightful lezzy orgy, and he was ignoring us, turning on the TV to Fox News. I rolled my eyes. Dad was such a news junkie, and he watched boring old Fox News all the time. I wish he wouldn't. All it did was get him worked up about national healthcare and how our president was a secret socialist trying to deliberately ruin the country. The worst part was that Mom stopped eating my pussy to look at the TV.
"Mom,"
I groaned in frustration.
"I was so darn close to coming. Calling it the miracle in South Hill,"
the news anchor reported.
"Today the infamous Mark Glasner was shot multiple times in a shootout between police and heavily armed men."
My heart clutched in fear. Who would want to shoot Mark? He made our family so happy.
While paramedics were working on him, this footage was caught by the local Fox affiliate in Seattle.
There was a man, Mark, I guess, lying on the ground being worked on by three paramedics, and then a scarlet light flashed. Mark sat up, alive, unharmed. Then the screen cut to a white-faced paramedic being interviewed.
"He was shot 5 times. And then, he was fine. Not a wound on him. It was a miracle. The man is something special, something holy."
Holy.my eyes widened in realization. Mark Glasner was something special, something holy. The words echoed in my head. I saw my twin's blue eyes widening in realization. The same thoughts sparked between us. "Of course he was special and holy. He taught us to love each other," I whispered.
"He did, Rosie,"
my mom whispered, her eyes shining with wonder. Then she bent down and loved my cunt until I was coming on her lips. I praised Mark for giving me my new, loving family, and as I came, I knew we had to spread the word. We had to preach Mark's message of free love. There were no rules. No barriers for love. Only consenting adults sharing their passions with whomever they wanted. Rachel Hirschgoldstein Blumbutler, Pennsylvania. I cuddled with Jacob, my new husband, on the couch of our apartment. Everything was in boxes. We spent the first day back from our honeymoon packing up so we could move into the house we had bought right before our wedding. Escrow would close in a few days and then we could move in. We were taking a break from the packing to make a little love. Jacob's cheeks were all stubbly with his 5 o'clock shadow, and I loved the rough feel of his whiskers on my skin. He slipped his hand up my blouse, finding my breast, when the front door opened and Leah walked in, juggling a box of her belongings under one arm.
"Starting without me?"
She grinned, shaking her head. I smiled happily at seeing her. Leah was our wife, and our lovemaking break would be even more fun with her.
"We got impatient,"
I laughed.
"But we just started, so you haven't missed anything.
I met Leah on my honeymoon to New York City. There I encountered Mark and Mary in the lobby of the Hotel Jacob and I were staying at. The couple invited me to have fun with them over the weekend, an invitation impossible to refuse. My poor husband had to spend most of our honeymoon alone while I was out having so much sex. The pair were wild, able to get anyone to do anything. They even made my husband happy that I was spending our honeymoon with other people, and that was how I met Leah. She worked the weekend as Mark and Mary's chauffeur. To my surprise, I fell in love with the vivacious bottle blonde. But I also loved my husband, so I brought her with me when I returned to Jacob. It was Mary's idea. She gave me the nudge, telling me if I wanted happiness, I had to take it. So I did. Jacob and Leah seemed to be hitting it off and we were one happily married threesome. Technically, only Jacob and I were married, but maybe one day we could all be married. Jacob found an interview Mary had given where she talked about how wrong it was for the government to oppose bigamy. Mary said in the interview that people should be free to marry whoever they wanted. Even multiple whoever's thought if anyone could change things, it would be Mark and Mary. They were special. Jacob, being the great guy he was, stood up and took the box from Leah's hands and gave her a quick kiss on the mouth.
"You need to see the news,"
Leah squealed.
"People are saying Mark died and came back to life. I heard it on the radio on the drive over."
"What, like Jesus?"
I asked. "That's what Christians always said. We Jews killed him and then he came back to life."
"Yes,"
she squealed.
"It's all over the news and YouTube. He was shot and then magically he was healed. They're calling it a miracle. People are calling him a god. There's a whole bunch of women posting about their experiences with Mark, and some are gathering in front of his house. The talk radio won't shut up about it. I drove so fast to get here to tell you."
A god. That was impossible. But there was something different about Mark and Mary. No one could do what they did.
people just obey them. I glanced at Jacob and saw the wonder in his eyes. He was realizing the same thing. God. They changed our lives, gave us Leah and our happiness. I looked around our packed up house.
Honey,
I said, I think we're moving into the wrong place. He nodded his head in agreement. A God would need disciples. Followers. We owed them for the happiness they gave us. For Leah. Chapter 6. My conversion fell on me in Good Samaritan Hospital, the truth opening my eyes. The moment I walked into their august presence, I knew the truth. They were holy. They were with the holy slut Shio, comforting her after the wicked sister Theodora Miriam's despicable attack. They shone with such love. I fell to my knees and worshipped them. First Missionaries 1:1-2. Dr. Molly Clerk Puyallup, Washington. I walked in a daze through Good Samaritan Hospital, nicknamed Good Sam, not sure what to make of the day's events. I had watched the footage of the miracle 3 times, all while remembering the one time I had met Mark 2 weeks ago. It was a Monday night. He had a head wound, and I made love to him and his sexy girlfriend Mary. Damina went home with them that night, quitting her job at the hospital to be their nurse slut. A part of me was envious of them. I wanted to be claimed. To be taken and made one of Mark's sexy women, the beauties who always were around him. Mark was on the news all the time, changing the world. Because he was a god, maybe they both were. No woman was more beautiful than Mary. Just the sight of her was enough to make me want to bow down and worship her pussy. I would do anything to please her. That was how beautiful she was. I shook my head and walked past the sluttily dressed cops guarding Xiao Lu's hospital room. I paused, glancing through the window at her. She was in ICU, recovering from surgery. She took a bullet in the stomach during the firefight, but her chances of survival were good. The bullet passed through a wall before striking her in the lower abdomen and lodging in her uterus, slowing down enough not to rip right through her. Unfortunately, her uterus was too damaged to save and the surgeon removed it. My heart skipped a beat when I noticed Mark Glasner and Mary Sullivan sitting next to the patient. My pussy drenched my panties as the lust flooded through me. I rubbed my thighs, trying to relieve the sudden ache in my clitoris. Memories of sucking his cock during my exam 2 weeks ago flooded through me. After, I licked Mary's pussy to a wonderful orgasm. I devoured her. Worshipped her. The first and only pussy I had ever licked. She tasted delicious. The whole hospital buzzed about Mark's miraculous recovery. Paramedics I've known for years, dependable men and women, swore Mark was bleeding out from multiple gunshots in the torso when the scarlet light erupted. When the light faded, Mark was perfectly fine, just like it showed on the tapes. It was not a hoax. I trusted these paramedics.
He's a god!
Ryan, one of the paramedics, whispered to me. He was a solid man with years of witnessing the worst that could happen to a person without getting phased. Today he was white-faced and had an odd, almost reverent tone to his words.
Or something not of this world. The police all talk about him like he's the greatest man in the world. It's like they're under his spell or something.
A spell? Was that what happened to me that night? Were Mark and Mary the divine-given flesh? How else to explain my sudden whorish behavior and plunge into lesbianism? I wanted to worship them the only way I could with my body, and it was hot. I opened the door, needing to check on Shio's vitals.
Dr. Clerk?
Mary asked with frown.
Right? That's your name?
My heart hammered. She was as beautiful as I remembered. The most beautiful creature in the world. And then I saw Mark and gasped. He had transformed. He was younger and 30 pounds lighter since I last saw him. His shirt was tight on him, outlining solid muscles. He was a flabby guy 2 weeks ago, not fat, but definitely not in shape. This was impossible. I was in the presence of gods. I fell to my knees. That was what you do when you were before a god, right? I vaguely remember that from Sunday school as a child of Moses prostrating himself before the burning bush or one of the prophets bowing before God. Mark stood over me, looking down on me.
Let me worship you,
I said, the words spilling out of me.
Please, my lord.
He knelt down, cupping my head and lifting my face up to look at him. His eyes were so blue.
Worship me, huh?
His voice was so deep and commanding, I could feel it reaching into my soul. He was a god.
Sure, you can worship me.
He stood up, and I knew what to do. I licked my lips as I drew down the zipper of his pants. I reached in and fished out his cock. He was hard and throbbing in my hand. I stroked him, savoring the thrill of touching a god's dick. I opened my mouth, hungry to suck on him. I engulfed the crown of his dick, swirling my tongue around his cock as I bobbed my head. His salty pre-cum flooded my mouth, coating my tongue. His hands gripped my head, and he thrust his cock slowly into my mouth. He groaned. I worshipped him. I worshipped my god. I sucked so hard as he fucked his cock in and out of my mouth. I had to please him. My cheeks hollowed. I moaned, my pussy growing hotter and hotter. My heart hammered in my blouse, beating with the thrill of this moment. I had to give him the best pleasure I could.
Damn, she is eager, Mare.
He moaned.
What a slut.
Yes, she is. Laughed her.
And willing to worship you. Isn't it hot to hear a woman beg instead of just ordering her? It does have its appeal.
I didn't care what they spoke about. I was here to pleasure him. To worship with my mouth. My hands gripped his hips through his jeans, my fingers clenching. My pussy soaked my panties as he ran his hand through my hair. His cock brushed the back of my throat as he fucked my mouth harder. He moaned, which sent a flutter of pleasure through me. He drew back and slammed his cock in again and again, his hands tightening in my hair.
You want to worship my cock, whore? He snarled. Then worship it all.
His cock pressed at the back of my throat while his hands pulled at my hair, forcing me down his shaft. He wanted to ram his cock down my throat. For a moment, panic set in. I couldn't swallow his cock. He was too big. I struggled, and then remembered it wasn't my place to resist a god. I was here to submit to his will. To worship him. I relaxed my throat as his cock pressed at my gullet. He groaned as his dick slid into my throat. He pulled me farther and farther down his cock. I took more of him, my heart beating for joy. I moaned about his dick as my lips buried into his brown, wiry pubic hairs. I took him all. A small orgasm rippled through me. I was so excited I came. It was amazing. I trembled and groaned as the pleasure washed through me. This was amazing. Awesome. I couldn't believe the joy bursting through me. I took every inch of my god's dick. Fuck, she's got a great mouth. My god moaned as he fucked my mouth, his balls slapping into my chin. My goddess gave a throaty laugh. Mmm, I remember her licking my pussy. Hurry up and come, Mark. I want to feel her lips on me. How did she phrase it? To worship my horny cunt. I buzzed with pleasure, my orgasm peaking, as I anticipated worshipping my goddess's cunt. She's doing a great job worshipping my cock, Mare. I sucked and moaned about his cock, constricting my throat, swallowing, massaging him. I gave him every ounce of my pleasure. His thrusts grew harder, faster. He slammed his dick down my throat, his heavy balls thwacking over and over. I was his whore. A god's prostitute. My pussy clenched again, excitement building in my depths. He grunted. His fingers tightened in my hair. My fingernails scraped at the denim of his jeans as my eyes stared up at his boyish face. A huge smile crossed his lips. His blue eyes burned with pleasure. That's it, slut. That's how you worship my dick. Damn, I'm going to dump so much cum down your throat. I bet you want that, whore. I bet you want every last drop of my cum pumping down your throat. You fucking whore. I did. I moaned so loudly, trying to let him know how much I loved his cock and wanted his cum. His face contorted. He growled and slammed his cock down my throat again. Then he pulled back his cock until only the tip remained in my mouth. I swirled my tongue around it, flicking at his slit while I sucked. Here it comes, slut! My god moaned. He trembled, hands tightening in my hair. And then his holy cum was shooting into my mouth. Delicious and salty. And so much I was having trouble swallowing it all. Cum ran down my face as I gulped it down. His holy cum spilled down into my belly, warming me. Another wicked orgasm rushed through my body. I moaned as I swallowed. My eyes fluttered as the pleasure washed through my body. This was amazing. My god pulled his cock out, and I licked my lips, gathering all the salty delight that had escaped. I moaned, savoring it. Thank you. I breathed to him. Thank you for letting me worship you. He shifted. Yeah? You were good. Then I glanced at my goddess. Her legs were spread. I could see the shadowy promise of her pussy juicy between her legs. She smiled wickedly as I crawled across the floor, the linoleum hard on my knees. I would probably get a run in my pantyhose, but I didn't care. I could smell her arousal, sweet and spicy. As I neared an intoxicating bouquet, her thigh was silk on my cheeks as I brought my eager mouth closer and closer to her pussy. I pushed back her skirt, revealing her shaved depths and the flaming heart of pubic hair adorning her pudenda. Love. She was a goddess of love. I licked at her slit. She tasted divine. I delighted in the mule of pleasure that escaped her lips. I licked again and again, drinking ambrosia, delighting in the feel of her sweet flesh on my lips. Her chair creaked as she shifted. Oh, Mark, she is enthusiastic. My goddess purred. Oh, damn, yes. Then she gave a wicked laugh. That's it. Ride her, my horny stallion. My god's hands caressing my ass through my doctor's coat and long, purple skirt. He squeezed as I moaned, licking at her pussy harder. My tongue flicked up to her clit. She gasped as I swirled my tongue around her nub, my lips sticky with her juices. I'm going to ride her hard, Mare. He said as he lifted up my doctor's coat, exposing the conservative, purple skirt I wore. He pulled that up as well. I shuddered as his hands rubbed across my pantyhose pulled over my panties. I savored the sensual sound of his fingers sliding across the fabric. They ripped. I loved the sound, fresh air wafting about my thighs. In a flash, he shoved the gusset of my panties to the side and thrust his cock into me. Yes. I moaned into her pussy as his cock slid into my depths. I came when my god entered me with his thick, hard dick. My body shuddered as the third orgasm racked my body. It was more intense than the last two, burning hot. My body shuddered and my pussy spasmed about his cock. The pleasure rushed through my body and reached my mind. Ecstasy bathed me. I licked my goddess's pussy as my god fucked me. I moaned my passion into her wonderful pussy. My cunt felt so full of his cock. So wonderfully full. He groaned, savoring my wet depths. The pleasure boiled out of me. My hips wiggled, stirring his cock in me, and then he fucked me. It was slow, at first. He groaned every time, savoring the tight, spasming depths of my cunt. Pleasure tingled throughout my body. I pushed my hips back into his thrusts. His balls thwacked into my clit, shooting sparks of pleasure as he built a new orgasm in my depths. My goddess purred her pleasure as I devoured her pussy. She seized my bleached blonde tresses with both hands, pulling my lips into her sopping pussy. My tongue slid through her slit, lapping at her hard clit. I savored her delicious flavor.
Oh, you're making my pussy feel so great, Doc.
My goddess purred. I sucked her clit into my mouth and she gasped.
Fuck, she's good, Mark. Ride the slut. Naughty filly.
He laughed and fucked me harder. His cock slammed over and over into my cunt. Our flesh slapped together. Every time he buried into me, he forced my mouth deeper into my goddess's pussy. I reveled in her juices dripping down my chin and neck, soaking into the collar of my blouse. My hips wiggled. The pleasure swelled through me. Every stroke of my god's cock and my cunt brought me closer and closer to another orgasm. His balls thwacked into my clit. I clenched down on his dick as he drew back, increasing the friction. And then thrust forward, burying his wonderful cock into my cunt.
Shit.
He grunted.
Shit, the doctor's got a tight, hot cunt.
And her tongue. She purred, grinding on me.
Oh damn, Mark. Fuck the slut's cunt.
I love it. I'm going to come so hard on her mouth.
Do it, Mare.
Fuck. My lips and cheeks were smeared with her savory juices. I was so happy that my body was worthy enough to satisfy these divine creatures. The living gods. A furnace grew inside me. His dick made such an obscene sound as it plunged into my cunt. The sound of my pussy's worship. I trembled, clenching down on him, on the verge of erupting and showering his cock in my juices, and then her hand tightened in my hair as her orgasm quivered through her body, flooding my lips with her ambrosia. I drank down her juices. They poured over my cheeks and down my neck. The scent. Oh, it was wonderful.
Oh, shit.
My goddess moaned.
Shit, Mark, she's making me come.
What a mouth.
What a mouth this whore has.
Good slut. My god growled. His hand cracked down on my ass.
Your cunt is nice and tight.
I'm gonna flood it with so much jizz.
Please, please.
I moaned.
Please flood my unworthy pussy.
She ground her divine pussy on my face as she kept coming. I licked and flailed as his strokes grew faster, harder, more erratic. His balls were full of cum aching to flood into my pussy. I trembled, holding off my orgasm, wanting to celebrate when he flooded my cunt.It would be beautiful.
Fucking whore.
He snarled and buried his dick into my depths.My god erupted into me.I came as the moment I felt his first blast of cum splash into my cunt. My pussy spasmed on his wonderful dick, milking his cum into my fertile depths. My vision fuzzed dark as the most intense pleasure I've ever felt rolled through me. I bucked and moaned as he pumped more and more of his divine seed into me.I could conceive a child. A god's child. A second orgasm exploded through me. I screamed my pleasure into her pussy. I lapped and licked as the pleasure boiled through me. He thrust a final time. My pussy milked the last drops of his cum out of his dick. The pleasure peaked inside of me. Ecstasy. Rapture. I pleasured two living gods. I trembled as the bliss carried me off into heights I had never experienced. I rode the waves of pleasure. Everything faded but the worshipful rapture spasming out of my cunt and bathing my mind in ecstasy. And then it withdrew. I groaned, trembling, breathing heavily as the pleasure faded. My eyes fluttered open. My cheek lay on the cold, linoleum floor. My body buzzed with excitement. I pushed myself up, his cum flooding into my panties. The gusset had moved back into place after he pulled out of my depths. His seed was trapped in me. I hoped I conceived his child. I pushed myself up with a groan. My gods had settled back into their chairs, both flushed and happy, his arm around her shoulders. I pushed down my skirt and looked for my chart. I came in here for a reason. I snagged Shio's chart up and turned to the bed, checking her vitals as a nervous tremble washed through me. Should I have turned my back on the gods? Should I have said something? What was the protocol for acting around a god? Unsure, I focused on my work, marking the updates onto her chart.
How is she?
I jumped and squeaked. My god had spoken to me. I whirled around, staring down at the floor, afraid to look him in the eyes.
She is doing well,
How did you address a god? I settled for.
Sir?
While fearing it would not be good enough.
She is not out of danger, but she should recover, sir.
Good. He sighed.
If you would excuse me, sir.
I stammered. My face flushed in embarrassment. They did not teach you how to address a living god in medical school.
I have other patients, unless you want me to stay.
No, no. He said, waving his hand, dismissing me. I walked out of the room, floating with exultation, my pantyhose torn, my face flushed, my makeup smeared. Her juices adorned my face. His cum filled my pussy. I was touched by the divine. Special. I beamed as I continued my rounds. Lucifer the Abyss. I floated in the shadows, the highest level of the abyss. From here, I could spy upon the mortal world, as close as I could come to escaping the prison. It was both a punishment and a blessing. A punishment showing what was denied me, the world I should rule, and a blessing because I could plot and orchestrate. I could study the souls of men, predict the future, then figure out how to influence to my design. I shone as bright as the sun watching the vermin scurry about. Humans. The very word left a bitter taste on my lips. Those disgusting, vile things that infested my earth. To think the Creator would have had me bow down before such weak and selfish beings. As if I, the son of the morning, who once led the hosts of heavens, would kneel before the worms who crawled in the filth. Alas, only a third of the hosts shared my opinion, and I was struck down by my brother, Michael, and cast out of heaven for my rebellion. So, I turned my attention to those first humans, Adam, Lilith, and Eve. Lilith, Adam's first wife, corrupted herself, refusing to serve her husband and jealous of his cock.
she was swiftly replaced and cast out in favor of submissive Eve. Lilith, lost outside of Eden and burning with jealous anger, was easy to capture. I corrupted her and showed her how she could birth monsters to plague Adam and Eve's descendants. Adam and Eve were so easy to tempt into sin. Eve was so trusting. She was long accustomed to conversing with my brethren in the garden and gladly ate from the tree of knowledge when I suggested it to her. When Adam found his wife, and she showed him the fruit, he knew exactly what the apple represented, but the lust for power blossomed in his soul, and man sinned for the first time. My amusement as they were cast out of the garden was only temporary. However, as more and more disgusting humans were born, so I committed more mischief. Set the humans to worshipping false idols, lying with their women and producing the Nephilim, the great, giant men. I urged the humans to greater and greater wickedness. But my mischief was only tolerated for so long before I was chained in the abyss by the Creator and his minions, the priests and priestess possessing the gift of the Spirit. Long had I plotted, long had I manipulated the destiny of man. Long had I awaited a pawn to shatter the chains of the abyss. And today, all those schemes had finally borne fruit. I peered into the mortal world, at the entrance to a street where the foolish sheep gathered, bleating their praise for Mark Glasner. All of my enemies played right into my hands. My brother Gabriel missed the subtle manipulations to the future I created, allowing me to guide him into making one fateful mistake. To attempt to kill Mark Glasner in the most spectacular way possible. Thanks to my interference, all the myriad ways which Gabriel could have defeated Mark appeared too risky, leaving today's attempt as the only viable plan. And Gabriel took the bait, the fool. Now, two of his priestesses were dead and the third passed her gift to my pawn, Mark Glasner. The stupid Tiffany Sullivan was tempted by love. I once told Lilith all the things men would do for love, and Tiffany did not disappoint me. She betrayed her side just to spend the brief moments of her life with her. True love. I smiled in pleasure, thinking of Lilith. Another enemy who played her part exquisitely. Lilith believed she was better than the humans, convincing herself of her greatness. But she was once one of those rutting beasts, and was just as easy to manipulate. I gave Lilith the tiniest bit of freedom, allowing Mark and Mary to summon her, and she acted so predictably. I knew her scheming, lust-filled soul so well I could easily anticipate what she would do. As I told her, everything she does serves my ends. Oh, she didn't believe me. Lilith foolishly thinks she was the master of her own fate, but she would learn I have always been her master. Today, she healed Mark Glasner for me. She thought her actions served her selfish interests. And thanks to the humans' technology, the entire world was witness to the miracle. And the foolish sheep were deluding themselves into believing that Mark was special, was divine, was a god. The blind sheep will worship Mark. They will love him. He will be their false savior, leading mankind astray. And as more and more of those foolish sheep bleat his praise, the chains of the abyss will weaken. But first, a savior needs to rescue his people from danger. My gaze shifted to Lilith, flickering in and out of reality around the slumbering Karen in the house in Seattle. She was attended by her priestesses, former sluts of Mark freed by Lilith, and a coven of lesbian Wiccans who followed and worshipped her. And that will be my sweet, stupid Lilith. Soon her vessel will be born, and she will escape the abyss. She will carve out her own kingdom to rule. Her lust for power, her hatred of men, will lead her to contend with Mark. She will not be able to stop herself. And the sheep will thank him when he rides in on his white horse and frees them from her tyranny. And when he kills her, I will be free. I had won. I just had to wait for the dominoes to topple and fall. And the next domino was in position. Brandon Fitzsimmons was on his way to his meeting with Professor Scrivener. So much chaos would be sowed. The barrier would weaken more and more as faith in the Creator dwindled, 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 and vanished. This story is continued in the next part. You have been listening to this podcast on the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts, their links are in the description of this episode. To support the free Erotica podcasts, visit our Patreon link. This will allow us to continue providing free content, as well as it gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choosing. Links for everything are in the podcast description.